ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, guys. It's me, Mateo, and that's Steve-O. We're here to wake you up in the morning. My nose is stuffed up, and so is his. How's yours?
Dude, my nose seriously hurts this morning.
Really? No, mine's good. I'm wide open.
Like, weird sinusy. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess I've just got a lot of faith because I never get sick. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Panama!
Booyah!
Booyah!
It is Thursday. We've got Theology Thursday today.
I'm excited. We've already got some questions.
Gosh, yeah, dude. If you, maybe you were studying your Bible this week, or weren't.
Or weren't.
And need some help. Because either A, you were studying and you came across something you didn't understand, or B, maybe somebody blindsided you with the question. You were like, I've never heard that before. That's Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. You can get your questions in now. Studio at mystaticradio.com and tell us what you think. Questions, comments, whatever. And we'll get to them in the 9 o'clock hour with our resident pastors, Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro. And, yeah, man.
That's cool.
Yes. Of course, we have Clay Schroff coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Talked to him yesterday. He'll be here.
He'll be here.
He'll be here.
He
talking about
be here.
What's going on with Aspen Project and Project Zoe. And in the meantime, we're going to answer phone calls and frustrate everybody. Static!
Woo! And you guys know what it is. It's Matthew from Albuquerque.
Oh, no!
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey, friend.
How's it going, y'all?
Not bad.
It's going, dude. It's going.
Just waking up, Steve-O.
Just waking up in the morning. Got to thank
God. You know what I
think? I don't know. Today seems kind of odd.
Oh.
Yeah,
no barking from the dog.
Kind of
no
you know
smog.
What? It is not day.
Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog.
Yeah, last
I got
night
my
we were introduced
Steve-O,
to Gorilla Grodd.
Today is not day because for us Albuquerque Public School students, it's actually our Thursday because this week is a three-day week for us because we were off Monday and Tuesday for not only President's Day, observe our presence, not the presence we've had. Also, it was a teacher independent training day, I think that's what they called it, in service. Yeah, yesterday
what?
Was in, but Tuesday was an in-service, so we only have a three-day week this week.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's why I kind of love school, you know, because we get a lot of breaks like this. But let me tell you this. When we can get breaks, Steve-O, I'm all for it. But then again, I miss my radio station. But that still doesn't stop me from calling in. I can still call
Matthew,
in.
I'll be honest with you. When you guys have breaks, we're all for it, too.
Yes.
Yes, because you know what? Everybody needs to get a break. And you know what, Steve-O? I think
what?
We could all use a break. Even you guys could probably use a break,
dude.
Too.
You have no idea.
You don't even know the breaks we could use.
Matthew, I'm going to give you a friend of mine's phone number. I have a friend named Bill Peterson, and he needs you to call him all the time.
He really does.
Because
he really has
this way of complaining constantly.
Yeah.
And he needs somebody to help him out.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yo, here's what I can do for you.
Okay.
Because I have a privacy policy. I like to have everybody try to use this too because one thing is I never release a phone number over the air. That's why I have an email address. If you want to contact me, give him the email I have, guys. Listeners, you can use this too to contact me. mattfromabq@gmail.com. That's mattfromabq@gmail.com. Email me, guys. I'll get back to you within a 24-hour period or on the next day. And, yeah, I'll answer your questions. You may have anything, guys. Contact me.
Hit you
me
got
up.
It.
And, hey, Steve, you know what I forgot to do yesterday?
Huh?
I forgot to announce the DECA member of the week.
That's what I was
going
to say. You
man.
couldn't do it Monday.
I got to give it to the, you know what, this is a two-way tie this week.
Oh, wow.
What?
Two people I'm going to go ahead and give a, you know, DECA member dedication to is Jocelyn Kershishnik and Mariah Martinez.
God bless you.
Shout out to you guys. Great job at State, by the way, this last week. Posted really well. Sorry, you guys may or may not have advanced. So whatever the case is, you posted excellent. Good job to you.
Good job to you.
And Steve, well, I got some excellent news for you.
Oh.
Check this. DECA at our school is actually nationally recognized. You're recognized for having the most school spirit.
Oh, wow. You've got spirit. Yes, you do.
And you know what, guys? Let me
you
tell you this.
You got spirit. How about you?
Wait.
So, Steve-O, this is how it works. When DECA recognizes you, or your, well, I mean, actually your school for school spirit, not only do you guys get a flag, a pendant, and a plaque, mm-hmm. you actually get 3 slots for the nationals for those gotcha. Who have not even competed at all. You can go and just attend leadership conferences mm-hmm. in Orlando, Florida. So, basically, for DECA members at our school that want to get the spot, they just have to write an essay, one page for our advisor, explaining why you should pick them to go. You guys are
That was
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, man, that was me. I was just like jumping on the horse, and there was machine guns on the side, and it was amazing. Because I'm a modern-day pilgrim, like this next nice artist. And it's going out to you, Matthew, from cool. Albuquerque.
Woo!
And all of your friends in DECA.
This
is so good.
Have a good day, buddy.
Oh,
go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks. This one also going out to Bill Peterson. He is Matthew's best buddy.
All the time.
It's Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Three, two, one.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It's time for breaking news. Today is February 19th, 2015. It's Thursday.
What?
Thursday's a good day
it
every
is,
time.
Man.
And the big news, again, is the cold that's covering most of the country. The temperature's colder in Virginia than it is in Alaska right now.
Whoa!
Yeah. Oh, it's the soul-freezing kind of cold. It's not really that cold here, so I guess we're not really thinking about it. But man, pretty much the entire eastern half of the United States is in the ice box. From the Canadian border to the Gulf Coast, temperatures are 25 to 45 degrees below normal. So that's about 115 million people in 27 states shivering and shouting mean words at the sky and at weather in general. Mm. Tons of stuff about it here on CNN.com. Things are even getting testy in Florida. If northern states get snow days, they should get 2 cold days, says Mariah Maxwell. I live in Florida and I'm not cut out for this life.
Man.
And then somebody from Virginia said, if I hear another person in Florida say it's cold outside, I'm going to have a conniption. So, Albuquerque, we should consider ourselves lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's chilly, but it's not freezing cold. We're talking ice and, I mean, I have friends in Nashville that haven't been able to go to work for the past few days.
Man.
Because they've been iced over.
Yeah, can't go to work, but everybody on Instagram, sledding!
Sledding! Sledding looks fun.
Gosh.
I would love to go sledding, but that's not going to be happening for me.
Yeah.
Because we live in the desert. Anyway,
we can go
on.
Sand sledding.
We
like
could
White
go.
Sands?
Yes.
I've never been.
I haven't been to White Sands, but I've been to the sand dunes in Colorado.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
They were fun. And I rode a snowboard down the sand. It was fun.
That would be awesome.
It was fun. I did it one time. So when I worked at that horrible camp.
Be like a Tatooine.
Yeah. That is what it was like. It was fun. We had a lot of fun. Okay, CNN reports the term nightmare bacteria does not bode well for anyone who may get infected. That's what CDC epidemiologists called, oh my goodness, look at this word, carbapenem-resistant enterobacteria, say, or something.
Nice.
CRE.
That's good.
Which can kill up to half the patients who contract these bacteria.
Whoa!
Family of superbugs made headlines 2 years ago when the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned they were spreading. Now they're back in the news after 7 patients at an L.A. hospital caught CRE after routine endoscopic treatments for bile ducts, gallbladder, or pancreas. 2 of them have died, the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center said Wednesday, and the hospital is contacting 179 other people who had endoscopic procedures between October and January. It's offering them home tests to screen for the bacteria. Wow. So it's like a super bug. All about that bug. Super bug. That's scary.
That is scary.
That's like, did you ever see Contagion?
No.
Nope.
I saw Outbreak and I was like, never again will I see a movie like this because it just freaked me out.
Then you'd want to wash your hands all the time.
And then I watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Like, crap!
Monkey disease.
Or Rise. Which one was the first one?
Oh,
it was Rise, huh?
Rise.
Which didn't
yes.
make sense because Dawn should come before the Rise.
It was the Rise and then the Dawn. Well, it makes sense because it rises and then the Dawn.
Okay.
And then They're the same thing.
I can't wait for Noon of the Planet of the
Noon
Apes.
Noon of the Planet of the Apes.
It's
and then
be so good.
Mid-afternoon yeah. of the Planet of the Apes
oh,
is
gonna
the
be
one
so
I'm
good.
Excited about. It's going to be good. Second breakfast of the Planet of the Apes. Dum, dum, dum. CNN reports a member of rapper Nicki Minaj's touring crew died and another was critically injured early Wednesday during a stabbing in Philadelphia.
Whoa!
Two members of my team were stabbed last night in Philly. One was killed, Minaj tweeted. They had only been there for 2 days rehearsing for the tour. Philadelphia police identified the victims as Devon Pickett, 29 years old, who went by Day-Day, and Eric Parker, 27. They went to a bar with friends late Tuesday in Philadelphia, Philadelphia's East Mount Airy neighborhood. They got into some type of verbal altercation with several other males, which quickly escalated into a physical confrontation. One of those males pulled out a knife and stabbed both of them multiple times.
Oh
they were taken
gosh.
To a local hospital where Pickett was pronounced dead, and Parker is listed in critical condition. Stabber drove away from the bar. And police are checking surveillance video in the area.
Dude, I remember when I lived in Philadelphia. I don't know if you knew that. Born and raised.
No.
Yeah, on the playground is
oh.
where I spent
I think you told me this story before.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Man, I was like playing basketball.
Chilling
you know,
out, maxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting hoops. And a couple of guys, they were, I mean, you could tell, obviously.
They stabbed you?
They were up to no good.
Did they stab you?
Well, they started making trouble in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, you know, next thing you know, you get in one lousy fight. My mom got scared and was like, you're moving with your auntie and uncle. To Bel Air.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, thankfully, I got out of that life because you never know. I mean, you look at Nicki Minaj's crew, and I mean, but they got in one little fight.
You should have been in her crew.
Yeah. I don't know if I could have done that. So, yeah.
You could have.
I'm just glad things changed. So,
that's great.
Yeah, man.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was a good story. Thanks for that. Thanks for that cool story, man.
Yeah, no problem.
CNN Money says a clumsy comment from Delta CEO apparently linking Gulf-based air carriers with 9/11 terrorist attacks has sent the Atlanta-based airline into a PR tailspin.
No.
Tailspin. It's another tailspin.
The comment came amid a war of words between U.S.-based air carriers and their Arabian counterparts over what they say is unfair government help. U.S. carriers claim that the Gulf 3... Etihad, Qatar, and Emirates Airlines are receiving billions of dollars in subsidies and have done so for many years, if not decades. They also allege that government handouts to Etihad have enabled the funding of new routes and new aircraft. The Arab Airlines reject those claims. Qatar CEO Akbar Al-Baker, probably not Baker.
I don't know.
A little too American. We're going to say it's Baker. Akbar Al-Baker said he gets equity from the government, not subsidies. In retort, the Arab Airlines point out that U.S.-based carriers themselves benefited from government help. So we got a bunch of airlines fighting, and they brought up 9/11. This is that group.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
And Delta was that guy.
Delta was that guy. We all have that friend Delta.
Yep.
Where you're hanging out, and you get into an argument, and then they, like, take it next level, and you're like... Whoa, dude.
Hey.
That was a long... You can't... No, man. Too soon.
Did
you just bring up my grandmother into this?
What's funny is Dawn and I were somewhere... Where were we? We were at like a coffee shop or something a couple days ago?
Uh-huh.
Or just... No, we were eating lunch. We were eating lunch at a burger joint.
Okay.
That five dudes own.
Okay, got you. I'm feeling you.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're there, and then we're sitting down, and you know how when you're eating, you just overhear parts of the conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're not even listening.
But you can't not.
The one thing I heard was this lady said, and then, I mean, you look at something like 9/11, and she started talking about 9/11, and I just picked up my hamburger, and I said, man, that sounds like a fun conversation.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Lighthearted lunch conversation.
I don't know what they're... She looked upset.
Oh, man.
It was like politics and...
Look at the way they handled 9/11.
How are the fries?
I couldn't have any fries.
Oh, man.
Because of my diet.
Sorry.
So I was suffering.
Gosh.
Speaking of another thing I can't have. Steve-O, would you like 3.5 feet of bacon on your pizza?
We could actually interview a specialist who has already partaken.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Yes. He put up a picture.
Saw that on his Instagram.
This wonderful, glorious-looking bacon pizza.
Gosh.
That I will have eventually.
When is your diet done? Saturday?
I think it's 2017.
Oh, no.
The baconification of America just reached a new level. I said baconification.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. No longer is it enough to have bacon on your pizza. A new menu offering from Little Caesars will also wrap 3.5 feet of bacon around the pizza's crust. CNN says the chain's bacon-wrapped crust deep dish pizza was announced Wednesday, and it will be available nationwide on Monday. The rectangular deep dish pie comes wrapped in whole strips of thick-cut crispy bacon, then topped with pepperoni and even more chewy pieces of bacon.
I'm
the
so
bacon
hungry.
Or the pizza will be available for a limited time only.
I could eat that right now. I'm so hungry. Is that too much for breakfast?
Oh my gosh, it has 450 calories and 23 grams of fat per slice.
Wow.
The new bacon-wrapped pie is healthier, quote, than a McDonald's Big Mac, which tops out at 530 calories and 27 grams of fat. Now, when we say healthier, that means there's less calories.
Yeah.
That is a loose health definition.
It's like, hey, man, you're going to die at 53, or hey, man, you're going to die at 53 in 2 days.
Oh!
Eat
the whole thing. At $12... Tina Taylor, that's the Little Caesars spokesperson who CNN interviewed, says, what could be more delicious than a pizza wrapped in bacon?
I can't think of it.
Indeed.
You know what would be awesome?
What?
Okay, you know cinnamon rolls? You get cinnamon rolls?
Yes.
And you unroll them and then put a bacon strip there and then re-roll it, right?
Yes.
Like a bacon-infused cinnamon roll?
Yes, and then we crisp it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we get an egg.
Oh my gosh!
We fry the egg.
Yes!
Put it on top.
Oh!
And then I know we want the frosting for the cinnamon bun, but I feel like that's gonna be a little too much, so we just get honey.
Oh, I'm totally cool
with
that.
Drizzle it in honey.
I'm down with that.
Booyah. But
it's
a honey bacon bun.
Over easy? Oh.
Honey bacon bun. Yeah, like a medium, over medium.
Okay.
So it's fried.
So still like get a little yolk though.
And you crack it and the yolk comes out.
I have never been more hungry in my entire life.
Doug, did you just hear that invention we came up with?
That was the best invention we've
ever
had.
What did you think about it?
It was the best.
What?
So-so.
Ugh. I see.
Dude.
What is this?
You got Doug in there.
What, you got any better ideas?
No.
Huh?
See? If you can't destroy... You can't destroy our idea unless you come up with a better solution, Doug. Oh, gosh.
A cinnamon honey bacon bun is not good enough for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, look at me. You need to get straight.
Mm.
Get your priorities right.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't throw up.
Oh, no.
Vanilla Ice is in the news, guys. Doug, Vanilla Ice is in the news.
Van Winkle's in the news? What's his real name?
Robert Van Winkle, I believe.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
CNN reports out on bail. Rapper Vanilla Ice says the burglary and grand theft charges he's facing is a misunderstanding.
Oh, he's facing
them. It's just blown out of proportion. The rapper, whose real name is Robert Van Winkle, told CNN affiliate WPBF, I wish you guys would focus on the good things I've done, like...
Oh, man. Totally original. Where is it?
I don't know. The rapper spoke to WPBF after his release from Palm Beach County Jail on a $6,000 bond Wednesday. There it is.
Sorry.
The Lantana Police Department said the robbery occurred sometime between December and February in a $1 million home that was going through foreclosure. Items stolen include a pool heater and furniture. Van Winkle was working next door renovating another home. During the investigation, it was determined that Robert Matthew Van Winkle, he's got the same name as me, played a role in the burglary and theft. A search warrant was obtained and executed in unincorporated Palm Beach County, in which several of the stolen items were recovered at a residence under the care and control of Robert Matthew Van Winkle.
Oh, snap.
The stolen property has since been returned to its owner, but... oh gosh, did you know he has his own show right now?
No.
Doug, did you know Vanilla Ice has a show? What? Why are you keeping stuff from me?
He has a show on the DIY Network?
It's called the Vanilla Ice Project.
Oh, snap.
He renovates and then sells houses. It says, so was this incident part of the show.
You know...
He says, I wish it was. There's nothing fun about this. I wish everybody all the best, and maybe some of the good news will travel this fast in the future. DIY Network says they've been made aware of the situation, and they're currently looking into the matter.
There's so many random pseudo-celebrities with freaky reality TV shows.
I know.
Chrissy recorded an episode of a TV show called Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Tiffany who? Amber Thiessen?
Amber Thiessen.
There's a show in her house? Doug? Find it. All the info.
There's a show in her house called Breakfast at Tiffany's, and she recorded it not knowing who Tiffany was. She recorded it because Nathan Fillion was in the episode.
Oh,
because
gosh.
She just gets random celebrities to come over and have dinner at her house, and she cooks for them.
That's awesome.
Seriously the whole show.
When do we get invited?
And it was Tiffany Amber Thiessen cooking for Nathan Fillion.
Okay, here's the deal. John.
Weird.
John, our TV show needs to start because I need to go to Tiffany Amber Thiessen's house.
Texting him right now.
Are you listening, John? John. John, wake up. John. He's not listening. Guys, and a couple of sad local news spots really quick. Breaking news. Albuquerque police investigators are on the scene of a shooting death on Cloudy Road. This happened at about 5:30, so a little over an hour ago. Officers say people in the neighborhood heard a disturbance gunfire about 10 p.m. Wednesday night. They found a man dead in a vehicle with multiple gunshot wounds. This is on Cloudy Road here in Albuquerque, so maybe we avoid that part of town.
Yeah, forever.
Right now. Also, one person is dead following a fire on Cole Avenue in Albuquerque. Two others went to the hospital with injuries. The Albuquerque Fire Department says it was called to the fire at 2:20 a.m. this morning. Firefighters found a fully involved fire at the 19-unit apartment building at 1021 Cole Avenue. They were able to put out the flames within 20 minutes, but, like we said, one unfortunate person did not make it. That stinks. Also, a 30-year-old man was sent to the hospital with burns. A 45-year-old man suffered cuts while escaping the building. Both of those guys are stable.
Wow.
It's still under investigation. And finally, because that was really sad, we're going to look at some happy news if you're a Dr. Seuss fan. And
yeah.
Then we're going to go to traffic. This is how this article is worded. But we have to pick one pet and pick it out soon. You know Mother told us to get back by noon. If that cadence sounds familiar and you can't place the words, don't be alarmed, because that phrase is from a new Dr. Seuss book scheduled to be released in July. More than 20 years after his death in 1991, a box filled with text and sketches will come to life in the latest creation by Theodore Seuss Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss.
So cool!
It's called What Pet Should I Get? The story captures the excitement of classic childhood moments, and that moment being choosing a pet. That's pretty awesome. They found this stuff just in a box. I love it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Me dose.
What Pet Should I Get? Releases in July.
Oh.
Let's take a look at traffic.
Okay.
Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast, and we have, what is this? The right lane's closed due to construction. I-25 Frontage Road South at Paseo del Norte Boulevard. Construction at Paseo, you're back. And again, we reported that there's an investigation thing going on Cloudy Road, wherever that is, here in Albuquerque, so maybe avoid that part of town. And there was a fire this morning on Cole Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm betting that's probably cleared up by now, but it could be out there. We don't know. Sometimes this map is a liar. We gotta go, because it's time for birthdays with Doug now!
What?
Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Today, Thursday, February 19, 2015, day 50, there are 315 days remaining in the year. First up this morning.
Is it Jim's birthday?
John nope.
Krasinski?
It is not.
Pam?
Nope.
Steve Carell?
Nope.
Is it Kevin?
Nope.
Rain Wilson?
Stanley?
Yes, Stanley.
Yeah!
Nice.
Love you, Stanley. He was a good dude.
He's the ripe old age of 59.
Isn't his real name Stanley?
Leslie David
Leslie.
Baker.
Leslie. Okay, cool. Did you say 59? It's a good guess. 54.
46.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
it was still a good guess.
You're a good guess.
Next up, he succeeded Paul Tagliabue.
What?
Being commissioner of the NFL.
Paul Tagliabue? Is that a name? Name?
Yeah, Paul Tagliabue, who then Roger Goodell.
Yes.
Wait, he preceded?
No, he succeeded.
Oh. See, I was
Roger
like,
Goodell.
Wait. So whose birthday is it?
It's Roger Goodell's.
Oh.
Yeah.
He preceded Roger Goodell. This guy.
Fidel succeeded Paul Tagliabue.
Succeeded. Okay, he succeeded. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Gotcha. Gotcha. Tagliabue.
Tagliabue!
It's Roger Goodell. So that's the current commissioner.
Yes.
Of
I've seen pictures of him back when the whole domestic violence thing started.
Right. He's 46.
He is 52.
56.
Ah!
Years old.
Oh, Bob.
Chris Pratt.
No.
Ah!
James Gunn.
Nope.
Batista.
Nope.
Oh, you would have played Batista.
Yeah, that would have been.
Or the Batista. Evolution music.
That's yeah.
I would have been really mad.
It would have been the Evolution music, probably.
Okay. Evolution is a mystery.
He is a Puerto Rican film producer and director. He's won Academy Awards, Golden Globe Awards, Screen Actor Guild Awards. He was in Traffic. He directed The Usual Suspects.
Oh, it's The Collector.
Yes.
Oh, Benicio del Toro.
Yes. Yes.
I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Wave the gun, guys. Ryan Phillippe and Benicio del Toro. Nobody talks about it.
I like that movie.
I do, too.
It was good.
Juliette Lewis. Shimon. Love that movie, Benicio del Toro. He's a good actor, Benicio. And he's a huge Lobos fan, so he's just, like, got credit for days. That dude is, gosh, I feel like he's got the Steve Martin premature gray going, so it's deceiving.
Yeah.
I don't think he's, like, older. I want to say 40s. Am I off? Am I wrong?
I think he's 48.
Now I'm doubting myself.
No, go younger.
46.
48 is correct.
Hey! Nicely done.
Next up, an American R&B and pop singer, songwriter, record producer, and former record executive. He was the founder and frontman of the Motown vocal groups, The Miracles.
Oh, Smokey.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, can you play Tears of a Clown?
I can try.
You can try.
I can try.
Do or do not. There is no try. Tears of a Clown. Tears of a Clown, Doug. Producer Doug fired, sadly, on February 19th, 2015.
Wait a
All you asked for was Tears of the Clown. Tears of a Clown, man. Smokey. I also would have accepted My Girl, which he wrote. How about Tracks of My Tears? Can you do Tracks of My Tears instead?
Give me 1 second. This would have been a lot easier had the music thing I used not been down this morning. Tears of what? Tracks of My Tears. All right.
Bruh?
All right.
Anyone? Tears of a Clown are cool. It's cool too. Dude, come on. Tracks of My Tears? Anyone? People say I'm live at the party?
Nope.
Come on. Smokey Robinson, everybody. Wrote My Girl. Wrote a lot of the hits for this occasion.
People say I'm the life of the party, girls. I tell a joke or two.
Or 20, because it's me.
I like that.
Might be laughing loud and hard.
Deep inside, he's blue! Deep inside, I'm blue. You just got to take a good look at his face, man.
So take a good look at my face.
Yeah, dude.
You've seen a smile.
Oh, man.
I think he is, what'd you say?
64.
I think he's 71.
75,
man. Is it Seal's birthday?
It is.
Ah! How did he get those scars?
You wanna know how he got those scars?
My father was a drinker and a fiend.
Oh, dude, this is his jam. Seal is 51.
Did you know that when it snowed, my eyes become alive?
Yep.
The light that you shine can be seen.
I
think he's 46.
52.
Ah! He was right there!
Seal.
He was right there.
Next up, and finally, his film debut was 1981's Ragtime.
Is this Jeff Daniels?
Yes.
Booyah!
He goes way too fast.
Dumb and Dumber soundtrack every time, Doug. Every time.
Dude, you know what's kind of depressing?
What?
We never saw the second one.
We will.
It's like already out.
It's
on
because
Blu-ray.
Here's why.
Like, it's already come
here's,
and gone.
Here's why I didn't see it.
Okay.
I read a thing, and it made me disappointed, and I didn't want to...
I did, that's why
I usually don't read reviews, but I had to know.
Yeah.
And it said that it just... It said that you could tell that Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels were sold out on the idea, and they were trying so hard, but the story was just crappy.
That's, yeah.
And that made me sad. Doug, did you ever go see it?
I didn't.
I think it did fairly decent, though.
I think 56.
So. 56.
Oh, Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels.
54.
What'd you say, Steve-O?
52? You said 56.
I said 56, though.
60 years old.
Oh,
wow.
On two dates. On this day in what year, the first practical use of coal-burning locomotive makes its first trial run in Pennsylvania.
Wait. Okay. Think the Lone Ranger, right?
Yes.
There are horses, no cars yet.
I like horses.
But they were like steam engining it. That was like the Grand Railroad. It was like 1800s, right?
I think so.
1841.
When I think of trains, I think of the 1800s, y'all, because of Back to the Future.
Right. Wait, what year was that?
That was 1888.
Okay. So
wait, what's the question again?
The first practical U.S. coal-burning locomotive makes its first trial run in Pennsylvania.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go 17.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. 1781.
It's too late for me.
1831.
Oh, my gosh. I was only off
you
a decade.
You were so close.
Oh.
So close.
On this day in what year, the Texas state government formally installed in Austin.
Oh, wow. I should know this because I always talk about growing up in Texas and knowing all Texas history.
Texas has been a country since the beginning of time.
And then I remember that that was many moons ago, and I don't remember grade school. Oh, man. 1850. No. Oh, wow.
1860.
1846.
You were close, man. You were close.
I wanted to get that one.
On this day in what year, Kansas becomes the first state to prohibit all alcoholic beverages.
Oh, Legends of the Fall, Prohibition era. Right? That was... There were cars in that. I'm going to say 1918.
1916.
1881.
Wow.
On this day in what year, W.K. Kellogg and C.H. Boland found Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company, which would later become Kellogg's.
Mmm. 1897.
1908.
1906.
Ah! Oh my gosh!
On this day in what year, the first prize was inserted into a box of Cracker Jacks.
Oh, cool.
Okay. What do you think?
Well, Cracker Jacks. I feel like Babe Ruth cards and all those like Cracker Jacky things. That was like the 30s, right? So, of course, those are tobacco cards, not Cracker Jack cards. But I think Babe Ruth for some reason. And that's like 30s. So I'm going to say 1929.
I'm going to say 1918.
1913.
Oh. I was off. I'm sorry, guys.
And on this day, what year? Canned and bottled Cherry Coke introduced by Coca-Cola.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke.
First time canned. Always Coca-Cola. Well, aluminum wasn't invented until the 80s, right? So, aluminum can... 1965.
1974.
1985.
Oh. I was totally joking. Dang it.
Number one song for today,
Shut up. We already kick off Thursdays with Panama. Now we got Jump. Oh, yep. That was from the record 1984, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say 1984.
1984 is correct.
Yeah!
Today is Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day. It's Iwo Jima Day. It's National Chocolate Mint Day. It's Prevent Plagiarism Day. And it's the Great American Spit Out.
Yes, dude.
The Great American Spit Out.
I think it's when you're supposed to ditch chewing tobacco.
This song was number one 31 years ago, guys. 31 years ago. This song. Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, it's Thursday. It's here. We're excited. We got a great show today. We got Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joining us. We've got Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro for Theology Thursday. We're going to talk, a little bit about some good stuff and whatnot. We're going to play some great music because that's how we do. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now, Static.
Party, and it'll be fun.
This is gonna be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, cause a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Traffic. Heyo! Let's take a look at traffic and see what's happening. Looks like the right lane is closed due to construction. I-25 Frontage Road South at Paseo del Norte Boulevard. And there's a bit of congestion around that traffic. Also, or around that construction. Also, long-term road construction. San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. That's the only thing showing up on our map. So that's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road. Right here on the Calvary campus.
Woo!
Man! I have garlic breath and I apologize.
That's okay. I can't smell it.
But it's one of those sorry not sorry things because,
sorry not sorry.
Man, egg and bacon bagel sandwich this morning for breakfast with garlic minced on top of the bagel.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they do it at Sopo. Coffee shop here on the Calvary campus. And thanks for sponsoring traffic, Solomon's Porch. This last weekend, SNL 40, Saturday Night Live, celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Yeah!
We've talked about it a little bit.
We enjoyed it.
We did. But one thing we had talked about and were kind of confused on was the fact that Eddie Murphy was making his return after a very, very, very long hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the 90s, David Spade. Do you remember his Hollywood Minute that he used to do on Weekend Update?
Yeah.
Did the Hollywood Minute. And the joke went like this. Look, children, a falling star. And it was a picture of Eddie Murphy because his movies at that time were kind of bombing. And that was literally all it took for Eddie Murphy to call Lorne Michaels and say, that was uncool. I will never be a part of the show.
Whoa.
Ever again. That was it. He refused to be a part of the 25th anniversary and never looked back. One of the biggest stars ever on Saturday Night Live. Well, they had the 40th anniversary. And the big talk was Eddie Murphy finally returning to Saturday Night Live. And he made a brief cameo, and we were all kind of confused. It was talked up as one of the biggest moments of this 40th anniversary special that was 3.5 hours long. And yet he had a 73-second monologue that wasn't really funny. It was just, thank you. Thank you. It's like coming back to your old high school. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then they cut to a break.
Let's get to more skits.
Yeah. Well, come to find out, Norm MacDonald, who was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was obviously a part of the show, and he was a writer for one of the, well, from what everybody is saying, their favorite skit from the 40th anniversary, the Celebrity Jeopardy skit. And as it turns out, Eddie Murphy was originally approached to impersonate Bill Cosby in Celebrity Jeopardy, which, if you saw it, you know, Kenan Thompson eventually played Bill Cosby in this sketch. But Norm MacDonald wrote it and wrote it with Eddie Murphy in mind for the part of Bill Cosby, but the night before the telecast, Eddie Murphy turned it down. And Norm MacDonald was the one that kind of broke all this out. He said, Eddie, the man who, in Lauren's absence, kept the show alive single-handedly every Saturday night at 11:30. Eddie Murphy, a kid who would fill 90 minutes with comedy, impossible, went on to praise Eddie Murphy because he said, man, there he is. Like, in a room full of actual rock stars, he stood above them all. Mm-hmm. He was a rock star. Well, I guess he went and approached Eddie Murphy about playing Bill Cosby, and this is what he said. Quote, I know the laughs will bring the house down, but I will not kick a man when he is down. The laughs are not worth it. No laugh is worth kicking somebody when they are hurt. And he, you know, obviously right now he was talking about Bill Cosby, who's been public enemy number one on the internet, who faces so many allegations right now.
He's having a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, and in the skit, I mean, that's exactly what they did, was cut right to the heart of the Bill Cosby situation right now. And it was written for Eddie Murphy. So now we at least know why Eddie Murphy wasn't part of a skit, because he was originally tapped to play Bill Cosby. But that's pretty classic, man. That's solid. He refused to kick a man while he was down. And we were talking about this off air. For most of us, sadly, the laughs, quote unquote, are worth it. It's like, got to get that laugh in at the expense of this other person.
Yeah.
I know this is probably going to hurt that person's feelings, because on the flip side, I was reading an article this week about Chevy Chase, who has kind of ostracized himself for that very reason, because he knew exactly how to hurt you, exactly where you were sensitive, and he would hit you with those jokes. He would come at you, and we've seen the difference in their careers, obviously, between Chevy Chase and Eddie Murphy. But I thought it was a classy move that he decided he wasn't going to do it, because when we were talking about this off-air, we started thinking about the church, and how often do we as Christians kick our brother or sister when they are down? It's when they have fallen. It's when they are...
Yeah.
Caught up in the middle of something, and next thing you know, they're exposed. What is our natural response? You know, I loved the classy Eddie Murphy response, that he refuses to kick a man while he's down, and that the laughs at this moment aren't worth it when, in turn, someone falls from grace. You see a human being sin. You see a human being exposed for their sin. And the first thing the church does, usually, is turn their back, talk trash, say horrible things. So,
and it's cool. Norm MacDonald also tweeted. He said, "Eddie Murphy, I realize, is not like the rest of us. Eddie Murphy does not need the laughs."
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny coming from Norm MacDonald. I mean, this whole show is based around making people laugh.
Right.
That's what these guys need. That's how they know they're still relevant. That's how they know their purpose is being met.
Right.
You know, they're completing their task in life.
Yeah.
And then for Norm to say that he realizes that Eddie doesn't need that.
He doesn't need that. The laughs just aren't...
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it's about. It's not worth it to destroy a man who's already...
That's a big deal.
Just absolutely destroyed by his actions.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You know, it's still allegations at this point.
Right.
We'll have to let the...
And SNL, over the past few weeks, they've already taken some...
Yeah.
Some shots at, I know Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did.
Yeah, and that was, what was that, Golden Globes? Where they,
yeah, the
they,
Golden I mean,
that
Globes.
Was at the Golden, so everybody's going for it.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to see the one star who didn't need to do that, who refused to kick a man once.
And that's kind of the thing with the show. You know, they poke fun at situations that are kind of intense and all that, traditionally, but it does say something for Eddie Murphy, because he totally... He doesn't need that.
Right. Know?
Everybody else needed it.
Well, and it goes back to our hearts and our ideas and our motivations for why we say things to people. And hopefully that gets us to think about it this morning, maybe before we say something, because what's the purpose behind it?
Right.
Do we need to say that?
Well, I know I'm guilty of that, but I think it's because, for me, it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
if
something's bothering me, I'll try to make fun of it to make it less of a monster in my head.
Right.
Try to knock it down a little bit. But I think I forget sometimes that, oh, wait a second, I'm making a joke about an actual situation with people.
Right.
that are real, and they might not get it.
That's our jobs. I mean, that's what we do as well, to entertain, to
well, we try
to laughs in the morning. We attempt it, but it was just a solid reminder. So I can't believe it. Thanks to Eddie Murphy. For the solid reminder.
Now we know we don't have to make y'all laugh.
We don't have to make you laugh, man. So we're just gonna play some good music. And no, I'm just kidding.
We're just gonna play some quote good music and see how everybody likes it.
Man, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got Theology Thursday with Brian Nixon and Jared Petro. We've already got some rad theology questions this morning. And I know this week we're also going to talk about Christology, the study of Christ. Talk a little bit about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Study of Christ.
Yes. Around the corner, 8 o'clock, our boy Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joins us. And we'll talk a little bit about mentoring, shepherding the heart of children, and how you can get involved.
Yeah!
So excited about that.
That's fun stuff.
I know, right?
See, they gave us a chart for Theology Thursday. So every week now we have a Theology Thursday focus.
Yeah.
And so the first one was Theology Proper.
Yeah.
Which is the study of the character of God. Last week was Bibliology.
Okay.
Which is Bible. Bible. This one is Christology, so study of Christ. Next week is pneumatology. It's the study of pneuma.
Of pneumas?
Yeah.
I love it.
Pretty cool. I'm so glad they gave us this guide.
Oh, dude.
What's a pneuma?
I have no idea.
Nothing. What's a pneuma with you?
Oh, man. On the way, got some Imagine Dragons for you, some Coldplay, but right now, taking it back a few. The boys in Switchfoot. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, yo. Down in the South Valley, traffic lights are working incorrectly. Caution, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. Looks like 40 eastbound around the Coors intersection is down to about 25 miles an hour. Lots of traffic around there. Also, Paseo and 25 southbound. You're down to about 30 miles an hour around Pan American and Osuna. Look out for that. There is a right lane closed due to construction, I-25 Frontage Road South at Paseo Del Norte Boulevard. And we've got long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by my amazing garlic breath.
Ew!
Gross. Courtesy of Solomon's Porch.
Okay.
I rocked that bagel sandwich, dude, like
hello,
a champion.
Hello, hello.
I think my teeth are melting. But
they're melting?
Okay. Yeah, there was like a whole minced garlic clove on top.
I don't know much, but I know you gonna need your teeth.
Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669.
Whoa.
What?
Oh, no.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Welcome, summer 2014. Maybe springtime. I can't remember.
Speaking of summertime, summertime brings with
summertime.
It swimming.
Swimming.
Oceans.
I love swimming.
Bathing suits and criticism from fans.
Woo!
That is if you are Iggy Azalea.
Aww.
The Australian rapper is walking away from social media, at least according to this article on Yahoo, following paparazzi pictures of her in a bikini and the subsequent online criticism she received for her quote-unquote less than perfect appearance.
Ooh.
I guess the photo showed Azalea revealing her curves in some tiny bikini bottoms while on holiday.
Holiday.
And some really crazy, unkind comics from internet users slammed her appearance. She hit back at critics yesterday, vowing to quit social media for the foreseeable future to avoid being drawn into a host of negative emotions, she said.
Mm.
She said, just got back from a great vacation, came online, saw apparently it's shocking and unheard of to be a woman and have cellulite, the singer wrote. She said, quote, I feel the hatred and pettiness I see online at all times and is making me become an angry person, and I cannot be that. To become nasty because of the way I feel I am treated would be a disservice to my fans, and I promise I will keep smiling. But I also want to let my fans know I'm taking some time away from social media. I need to be happy. It's too negative and draining. She said, my management will tweet, run my accounts from today onward with updates, etc., unless a message is signed IA. Iggy Azalea.
All right.
She also said that the internet is the ugliest reflection of mankind that there is.
Ooh.
And she quit. She quit her social
media. Strong words.
How do you fire back at online critics? I mean, we get stuff from time to time. Do you think she was right in at least commenting and saying, hey, hate-filled people?
You know, I don't know.
Shut it down.
Because you would think the first, like, your first reaction is, oh, I'm about to write a really mean letter back to this person. But then you start thinking about it and you're like, wait.
Right.
The best thing in defeating a bully, short of punching them, is completely ignoring them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's tough, though.
It is tough, especially somebody like that.
Right.
Who, like, I get an email.
Ah, email.
You're right. And Iggy Azalea gets millions of tweets every day.
Right. I can imagine being in that level of spotlight, because you're right. Like, we're affected when we get one thing where somebody's like telling us nasty comments about our faith.
This
or about
isn't good enough for me.
Right.
Meh.
And that's one comment. And there have been times where you or I will start writing out our response email and have to pause.
Yep, and then
stop
go.
And then delete. All right, now I'm going to take some time. I'm going to pray about this for a minute, and then I'm going to try and compose myself and say, thank you for your feedback.
Right, thank you.
So if you're listening and you're one of those people and it starts with thank you for your feedback, man, you have no idea what those words really mean.
You know what happened. You know what happened to you. You gonna need your tea.
On the flip side, though, reading this article about Iggy Azalea, you know, 24 years old, she's a rapper. She's got millions of followers.
Millions.
Do you think quitting, like, do they win? Do the bad guys win when you quit?
No, she didn't totally quit. She said, my management will do this, and if it's signed IA, you know it's really for me.
Yeah.
And I think she didn't quit, but she distanced herself from a negative situation, which is important. She engaged the situation. She took a stand.
Responded.
She said, this is how I feel. You guys are being a bunch of jerks, so I don't want to deal with this in my everyday life. I just want to be happy, so I'm out.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Phone lines are open. How do you respond to criticism? Or should attention even be drawn to it? It's kind of a question, you know? Like, how we respond to negative feedback. Not constructive criticism. We're talking about the hate spewers of the internet. Because I'm not... I got to be honest. One of her comments I didn't think was too far off, the idea that the internet is basically the worst of humankind.
Yeah.
What we see on the internet day in and day out, I don't know what it is about social media where people feel like they have a right to basically destroy you without knowing you, without knowing your character. It's crazy.
Yeah. What makes it more, or what makes it worse, is when you actually know people.
Yeah.
And then they take that for granted.
Right.
And they do it anyway. And they're like, oh, no. No, you know it's a joke.
Yeah.
I say this from personal experience, because there have been many times where I crossed that line.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Many times. I say that.
I've had to apologize and put foot in mouth. I have that disease.
I have it constantly.
Foot in mouth syndrome?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I got you.
My foot is not minty fresh, Doug.
505-338-3700 if you're just joining us. Iggy Azalea, rapper, has decided to give up social media after basically being mocked for her appearance. When she was on holiday with her boyfriend. She said, just got back from a great vacation, came online, and saw, apparently it's shocking and unheard of to be a woman and have cellulite, LOL, end quote, she said. But she talked about the hatred and the pettiness and what happens online with people who have social media who, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I would love to have had access to a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't that access. It was
you had to write fan letters
and
hope.
Yeah, they were like fake people out in the galaxy somewhere, and you had no idea. And now there's like this instant access to, I can say the most hateful thing or the most heartfelt thing and know that the person is going to see it, possibly.
Yeah.
There's a much greater chance of that. Phone lines are jamming up. 505-338-3700. Hello?
Hey, guys. It's Calvin from Mom.
What's up, Calvin?
Hey, so, I don't like people, man.
Good.
Let's start with this. I have a problem. I don't like humanity.
Okay. My dad when I was, I don't know, like 13 or something, I was having an argument with my little sister, and I wasn't doing very well. I was having a hard time, and he walked over to me, and he sat me down, and he talked to me. I don't really remember what he talked to me about, but then he gave me this great, great analogy, an example that I've used throughout the rest of my life so far, and that I will, like, totally tell my kids. But we put our hands together, and he's like, okay, now push against my hand. And so we're pushing our hands together, and then he just, like, pulled his hand back.
Right.
And then I just put my hand down by my side, and I looked confused at him, and I'm like, what just happened?
Right.
And he's like, did you see what happened? I stopped pushing back, and then you stopped pushing back.
Mm.
And so, basically, he's like, if you just stop and don't do anything about it, stuff's not going to get escalated, and it's not going to make the situation worse. So,
right.
I kind of see what she did, and I kind of think it's good that she actually did respond, for her fans' sake, I guess.
Right.
Because it's nice to let them all know that,
she's walking away.
Hey, I'm taking a break, just so you know. You don't see this stuff from me. This is why, because the internet sucks.
Right, yeah. That's a good analogy, man. Kudos to your pops.
That's a great analogy.
I like that.
Yeah, my brother just said, he's like, it's like fighting a pig in the mud.
Yeah.
After 2 hours, you realize that they actually enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And you're both just filthy.
Exactly.
You both get dirty. So, yeah.
I don't know, man. Mud wrestling is pretty cool in the South.
Gosh. Thanks, Calvin.
Okay, bye, guys.
There you go. Calvin from Hobbs. Love it. Static.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm following along the same lines. The Bible says that for lack of wood, the fire goes out.
There you go.
I think that's what he's saying, too. The same thing is that so many times we keep throwing wood on the fire, and we wonder why the blaze gets higher.
All right. Yeah.
I think we need to just, you know, disengage so many times and let it just die. Don't give them air to breathe.
Good word, man. Good word. Thanks for the call.
God bless.
God bless you, too. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Yeah, dude, I got to say, like, I don't know what the big deal is about. I mean, she's on a beach, dude, has tons of money. What does it matter what people think, dude? It's kind of like, you live your life and be happy. Who cares if they're criticizing you? Just keep stacking that money up, dude.
Stack that money. Take that criticism to the bank.
Stack that money up.
Right?
Wow.
Take that criticism to the bank, deposit it, and then go to a plastic surgeon and get rid of that cellulite.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying on one level, but here's the thing. Like, that negates the fact that that person, I think that's why the bullies come out of the woodwork. They forget that ridiculously rich person is still a human being that still has faults and emotions and a heart, hopefully, and it hurts. You know, you could be the richest dude in the universe, and all the money in the world's not going to change the fact that if somebody criticizes you, if somebody destroys you with words, it's going to hurt, you know? So
I don't know. And then you could kind of pull up in a Bugatti or something and then just kind of, you know, drive by and went out.
Is this Derek?
Yeah.
Derek, money's not going to get you everything, buddy.
Money's not going to cure your heart, bro. Not going to do it. Thanks for calling, man.
Thanks, Derek. Love
you, bro. Gosh. We get these, like, words of wisdom. The Bible says that, yo, man, got to make that money. Who
cares? That Bugatti in the garage. Who cares?
Glad we're ending it with that. Huh, we got to take a quick break.
Thank you for calling, Derek.
Heck yeah. Coming right back, our girl Michelle Schroff will be joining us talking about Aspen Project, Project Zoe, all going on there. And we posted the article about Iggy Azalea, if you'd like to chime in. How you respond or not respond when bullies or internet trolls come your way, and how we should be responding. I like this.
Yeah.
It's good, man. Quick break. Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
What's going on with the traffic cam? Let's take a look. It's not a camera. There's an accident. Two right lanes blocked. I-40 West at I-25. That's exit 159 BC.
BC.
Do you know when they built that one? I'll give you one guess. It was probably about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Lots of congestion all around the city, especially where Paseo and 25 meet, where Coors and Alameda meet, like around Corrales Road, Ellison Drive. That's nuts over there. Y'all, it's nuts.
Lots of congestion.
What I'm going to tell y'all about traffic right now is it's nuts.
It's that deserty time where everybody's just congested and we got allergies. And
it's nuts.
And
40 eastbound around 12th Street, 8th Street, down about 25 miles an hour. There's traffic lights working incorrectly at Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. There's an accident. Two lanes are blocked. Two right lanes are blocked. I-40 West at I-25. So watch out for all that stuff, guys. There's traffic everywhere. That's the look at it.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. My number's 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Welcoming in the show, our girl Michelle Schropp from the Aspen Project and Project OA. What? It's good to see you got up early and got dressed up for the show. You can catch the webcam at mystaticradio.com.
Hey. Actually, we need to turn that thing.
No.
We must turn the camera.
No.
We need to turn
it. You mustn't.
We have to turn it for Beanix anyway, Michelle Schropp. You did this to yourself.
Why don't you wait until after I will turn it for Beanix.
We're talking about internet scrutiny.
We're talking internet scrutiny.
Wow.
Our girl Iggy Azalea left the Twitters. She left all social media because of some haters.
Yeah, you
were talking bad about her quote-unquote cellulite, end quote. That's what she said, her words.
And so we brought in a woman to tell us, what is cellulite? Can you clear this mystery up?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
Oh, I have no idea what cellulite is.
We are sabotaging our show.
And you know why? Because you went to the gym this morning.
This is true. That explains the
Now,
hats.
Why do you work out and go to the gym? Is it because of your appearance? Are you trying to get better?
No, I'm at the age where it's necessary.
It's purely necessary.
My age is 26 years old.
My doctor keeps telling me that.
It's necessary, yeah. I'm pretty active, but I don't know. I feel more productive after I go to the gym in the morning.
Yeah.
And we've just kind of picked it back up, and I have, teenage daughters that, I don't know.
That's
I enjoy
good.
Hanging out with them, and it's a good opportunity to do that.
That's how you guys hang out?
We totally do.
You kick it at the gym?
That's right. Actually, one of my daughters will remain nameless, was like, did you bring your earphones? And I'm like, no. And my other daughter's all, no, we can just talk. And the other one's like, oh.
Does it start with an S?
It does.
Okay.
It starts with an S.
They all start with S.
I know.
You guys are going to run out of S words.
I know.
Well.
Yeah. So one was very excited to visit.
That's
And the
so
other
funny.
One, not so much. Yeah.
Not so much.
I'm not a gym rat. I don't know anything.
The one that didn't want to chat is a gym rat. So
okay.
The other, me and the
she
other one were like,
run.
Let's have fun. Let's talk.
Oh,
let's visit.
I can't. How can you talk and work out? I tried this thing like three times. It's like, okay.
That's one of my favorite things to do. My boy Matt will be on the rowers at CrossFit, and
right?
We'll be rowing, and I'll just start talking to him, and I'll be like, so what'd you think about Darth Vader number two? And I can tell that he's going, I thought it was good.
I'm like getting dizzy by joking about being out of breath and working out.
I didn't even work out just now,
and I want to sit down.
Well, that was your workout.
That was.
There it is.
It's hard work.
You're
guys.
Done.
I am
done
you know
for
what?
The day.
When we used to be on tour all the time, and then I know Dawn does this when she exercises, like when she goes walking or running,
right?
And then Dave used to do this. If you sing while you do it, it increases your vocal stamina.
Yeah,
nice.
So you can because when you're running back and
that
forth on stage or what, I bet Steven did. I bet he did it to a degree, too, because it helps you sing more.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All of my band friends, that was it. Anytime I have worked out in the last decade, it was only because I was in a random city with band friends who were like, oh, bro, we got to go to the gym place and work out. I visited him in Nashville one time.
The gym place.
And him and Don and Brandon.
Keyboard player. Yeah.
Remember this?
Yes.
Like, we're just chilling. It's like, what do you guys want to do? Oh, man, this is my first time in Nashville. Where are we going to go? Well, we got to go work out.
We got to exercise
so,
first.
Exercise first. So, I mean, you can come with us. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I went with them and literally felt like a creeper because they were all like doing this crazy like, hey guys, Sean T doing this crazy P90X, blah, 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 right? So they're all like sweating and being crazy. And I was sitting in the corner
reading
the Hunger Games.
Y'all hungry?
Watching them work
you
out.
You totally should have read to them.
Oh.
That's too much. Reading out loud, I get winded.
I used to ask Dave to read out loud to me in the van. I'd be driving and he'd be reading a book
exhausting.
And I'd say, read it to me. And he was like, no. And I said, read it to me.
That That's Clay. Gosh. He always makes me read to him. It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
When we go on road trips, he's like, what are you reading? And I'm like, how to share Christ with Mormons.
So you have that special talent. We're mutants, apparently, because I have this talent. I think it's a mutant ability. Reading while in a moving car.
Heck yeah.
I can only do it on a straight highway. Like, okay. I couldn't do it in town. There's no way. I
my
get
wife
carsick.
Cannot, yeah.
But if we're, like, if we drive to Durango, I can totally read to him. But it's so funny because the kids have to listen. So yeah. One time, okay, total oh, fast no. joke. Oh, it's no. not a joke. It's actually a story. So one time I'm reading this book, and I'm so engrossed in this book because it's talking about sharing Christ with Mormons in love. And okay. it's a great, great, great book. And I was raised in a Mormon family, so I thought, mm-hmm. hey, this is insightful. So I'm reading, and at the same time period, in the evenings I was reading the Chronicles of Narnia to my kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So cool, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we get back from Durango, finish the book on the road trip back and forth. My kids don't ask any questions about the book. I don't even know they're listening. Well, I go to pick my kid up from Sunday school, and the teacher pulls me to the side and is like, so, your little girl was telling us that you guys are reading the Book of Mormon.
Oh,
and,
no!
And I'm all, no.
I don't remember reading.
I said, no. But, yeah. We're reading the Chronicles of Narnia. And she's looking at me like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh,
so they
no.
were listening.
That's
they
good.
Were listening. But I wasn't reading the Book of Mormon, but it mentions the Book of Mormon a lot. So
right.
my kids thought they were listening to the Book of Mormon.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah.
When it's your kids are listening and yeah. you don't think you don't they're listening.
Yeah. No, I know.
Kids listen.
Not yeah. to the good stuff.
We're helping this guy because, you know, they're
That's
preparing
right.
for their first.
Oh,
That's
man.
Right.
Anything we can steal in him.
That's that, right.
Yeah.
Just don't read to them in the car.
Yeah, I'm going
to
read everything.
Think listening.
You can do that. I feel bad because I give up. I'm not going to lie.
You give
like,
up.
When my wife and I first got married, she told me she had never read The Hobbit. And I was like, that's my favorite.
Right.
Favorite book.
Well, right.
Yeah. Favorite work of fiction, mm-hmm. Up until Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, which Woo! Is now my current favorite work of fiction.
How could you
okay.
say that?
So, but it hadn't released at that time because I've been married many, many moons. And so I read to her every night.
Aww.
It was like, right? Did voices. It was great.
You did voices?
Did voices. Oh, man.
Yeah. Was she able to stay awake?
Yeah, jerk.
See, I couldn't. No. I totally couldn't.
So we got through the whole Hobbit book. And it was
oh
like,
my
yeah.
goodness.
So then, like, the kids, you know, the Hobbit movies are starting to come out.
Right.
I said, back in the day, I read this book to your mother. I'm going to read it to you.
Uh-oh.
I think we got, like, 4 chapters in.
And they were bored?
We were all just kind of like, all right. Cool, man.
We'll and watch then, the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like.
It's hard to read a book when the movie's out.
Guys, reading is hard.
It is. So, when I see that a movie is coming out of a book that I have always wanted to read,
yeah.
I go on this mad, crazy, we're not watching the movie till we read the book.
That's me right now with American Sniper.
See?
My father-in-law read the book. He's all, like, super, you know,
right?
was in the Navy, former cattle
right?
rancher, man's man, will
right?
beat the crap out of Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's a man.
Man.
That's my father-in-law. And so he was talking about American Sniper
right?
and as a veteran. You know, I wanted his opinion. And he's like, well, I got the book right here. I'm like,
oh.
And it's like, thumbed through like this book you could tell he's read.
Oh.
And so he gave it to me and I'm like, man, and all my friends around me are going, dude, American Sniper is so good, bro. You gotta go see it. And I'm like sweating every time I think about it.
Sweating.
But I just got the book and it's so big. They use like big words. It's gonna take me 6 months to read this.
You ought to do the audiobook.
Hey. Gosh. That's a good idea.
What do you know? There's a middle ground.
Yeah.
Look
so I've
that.
Never, I haven't seen the movie yet because I keep staring at the book on my coffee table that I have to read because my father-in-law.
Can I
like,
just say
hey,
something?
Read it.
It's such a good movie.
Dang it! I want to see
is.
It.
It's such a good movie.
Doug, pull up American Sniper. We're gonna watch.
We're watching. Can we watch it right now?
Yes.
Can we just stream it right now?
Just play it here on the screen.
I'm a fan of Bradley Cooper. I think he's one of those really diverse guys who can be right. hilarious, but then can tackle serious roles. And he just looks great in this movie. So.
See, it's funny because I've never seen him in a movie other than this.
Uh huh.
And I've only seen him on Alias.
Did you not see Guardians of the Galaxy? Wait, are you being serious right
no,
now?
No, I haven't. All we right. own it, but I've never seen it.
I'm so okay. sad.
I am not a science fiction fan.
It opens in a hospital with a little kid. He's got headphones
uh-huh.
on. Okay, we're going to do the whole movie right now. And so he's listening to a song, and then grandfather comes through. He's like, Peter, hey, your mom wants to talk to you. And he goes into the hospital room because his mom's dying.
Kind of really sounds sad. Like Princess Bride.
Stop it! It's really good! You know what?
I've seen that.
You know what? Go to the phones.
We'll take it to the phones. 505-338-3700. Have we ever taken a phone call with you like on the
I don't
air
think
before?
So.
I feel like somebody's calling.
I'm afraid
they want,
that someone's
Doug.
Going to insult me.
Producer Doug.
Oh.
I don't want anyone insulting
Are
me.
You
yeah, that's
afraid
our
of the
job.
Scrutiny?
I am.
They obviously have never met
Just
Clay
kidding.
Then. Because your husband is terrified.
Yeah, please don't insult this woman. Yeah. Her husband will destroy you. And we'll just have to watch because we can't stop.
That's true. In studio, Michelle Schroff from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe. Let's talk about Project Zoe. What are you guys working on right now?
My goodness. This year, we have tripled in referrals, which is major.
Yeah.
We got 12 referrals in 1 month. We normally have about 4.
Tell people about these referrals, what it means to be referred
what it means
to Project Zoe.
Well, you can come through Project Zoe in a number of ways. One is a sponsor.
Okay.
Sponsors you. They fill out a referral form, and it's basically all your sizes, everything, and we set up an entire boutique in your size.
Mm-hmm.
You pick out 3 articles of clothing, 3 accessories, and then we have workshops, and you know, and it's a blast. The actual appointments are an absolute blast. We get to dress the girls, we do their makeup, and last week we had a hair and makeup workshop, which we slammed it on that one. It was the girls walked away just so excited, and it's really neat to see. Like right now, we're mentoring a girl that is needing some parenting classes. She's a very young mother of 2, and all 3 are in custody. So it's one of those things where you know we come across a lot of uncharted territory. So we're kind of going, okay, well, you know, how do we teach a young person to parent 2 kids?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard enough to teach them to parent 1, let alone 2. And hanging out and visiting with her is just, it's amazing in 6 weeks what a drastic change has occurred. And she had said she went to court and the lawyer was like, dude, what happened to you? Like, you look like a different person. And her attitude is just so different. And she had asked for a Bible. And because when girls come in, we don't, you know, we don't preach at them. We don't throw stuff at them or condemn them. We just love on them. You know, and we let them know that there is a God that loves them regardless of where they're at and where they've been. And she said, well, do you guys have Bibles? And we're, of course. So we gave her one. And every week she's come back and she's like, I was reading in, is it Psalm? So it's really cool to see her.
I was reading in Psalms.
Yeah, but she did know it was Psalm. But
that's good.
It was so neat to hear her, you know, what scripture stuck out to her. And she's starting to memorize scripture. And a lot of the things that were jumping out to her had to do with, you know, the vindication that God was going to have on her enemies.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, okay. All right.
I was reading about God melting the teeth of my enemies,
well,
and I couldn't excited.
Hugo needs your teeth.
I made
That's
a
right.
list.
That's right. And it was, well, but you know, what she saw was, and what she probably never had was protection, you know, growing up, and she was always vulnerable. So, you know, we're talking a lot about that, and, you know, we're able to do stuff with this particular girl that we are so excited about seeing what God's going to do in her life.
Let's talk about this a little bit, because earlier we were talking about Iggy Azalea.
Right.
You know, 24 years old. She's a rap artist, gajillion dollionaire at this point. You
oh
know,
my with, gosh, I could be her mom.
So
stop it.
So Iggy Azalea, she went on a vacation with her boyfriend.
Right.
She was rocking a bikini. You know, paparazzi takes photos. She comes back from vacation and her Twitter is just blown up with people talking about her cellulite, talking about her image and her body. So I wanted to talk about this because we're talking about these young girls who maybe have come from broken homes, who have been in a jail type system, who have been sold into prostitution, all these different things.
Right.
And we're talking about hair and makeup.
Exactly.
And appearance, as we're like, well, appearance isn't important in Iggy Azalea, blah, blah.
Well, you know, it's
but
so
at the
crazy.
Same time,
it is.
Let's talk about the actual importance.
Well, there is an importance because, you know, what we've come across at Project Zoe is a lot of the girls, especially the incarcerated girls, try to neutralize their sexuality as far as if they're a boy or a girl.
Right.
Because they don't want to come off attractive, but they also don't want to come off looking like a boy. So they need to find a balance in that. And really, is that who they are, or is that just a protective mechanism to, you know, shield them from being hurt or being picked up on or whatever it may be? So we try to find out who they are. you know, and we don't just say, okay, we're going to do this to you. They tell us what they like, you know. They say, oh, well, I don't wear any makeup. Okay. So we don't do makeup with them.
Right.
You know, and we totally leave it up to them. But what's really interesting is we notice a complete change in their demeanor once. Because I don't care what anyone says. We all have our own personality when it comes to the way we look, the way we act. And we can say, oh, they're just following that celebrity or that. And they might be. But that's not what we're seeing.
Right.
We're seeing girls that are hurt and broken that they do need to find an identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Iggy Azalea, I mean, hers, you know, bikini on the beach, okay. You know, and if people are critical of that, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to have, and it's so funny because my daughter, actually, she just told one of my other daughters this yesterday, wolves do not care about the opinion of sheep.
Mm.
You know, it's like, why would we care what the opinion of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, here's my thing. You're doing what makes you happy. You're a celebrity. You're in the limelight. You're filthy rich. I mean, you get up on stage. She's performing at the Grammys or American Music Awards. It's like, what do you care what someone in their living room is saying about you because they have a critical spirit?
Well, it speaks to the heart of being of vulnerability and or lack of self-esteem.
Right.
You know, because I know for me, maybe I've just grown thick skin, but I remember the first time I ever got quote unquote hate mail here.
Right.
It destroyed me.
Yeah.
Because I greatly cared what people thought because I was a people pleaser and I just had to please everybody.
Right. But and that's what the difference is do you live for an audience of one or do you live for, and for her, I'm sure she's living for the approval of everyone. That's, she's a celebrity.
Yeah.
But I think by her, her statement, it's admirable what she's doing. But personally, I think she's letting him win. I think she's saying, you guys control what I do. And I just, I think she should take a break, but it should have been kind of an unspoken, let me get myself together kind of thing. Mm. And who knows? Maybe this is an opportunity for her to be vulnerable to her fans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay too. Yeah. So I don't know. If it were me, I'd probably, do what you guys were talking about. I'd write this filthy, rotten, and then delete
and
the
then
whole
delete
thing.
It
and then go, get over yourself, like, Michelle. Really?
Right.
Like, does everybody have to love you?
Well, that's why I don't have a Facebook, because of all the haters. They won. That's why.
They won?
They won.
You're joking.
He's saying it.
Haters He's joking.
Won. He's saying
haters
it.
He's joking.
That's
haters
why I don't have
hate,
it.
hate.
Yeah.
Well, and when you really think about it, if you're living for the approval of everyone else, you're never. It's never gonna happen.
Oh, it'll never happen.
It's never gonna happen.
Yeah, it'll never happen.
So just get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. 505-338-3700, the phone number. People keep calling in now.
What?
Maybe they want to chime in on this. So I don't know.
The other caller wanted
Be
to
nice.
Know when
Just
Theology
kidding.
Thursday, if it came came KT or Static.
Oh, Static, 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Static,
so there
o'clock.
You go, 9 o'clock.
You know, I think I agree with you a lot. But I also know that every human has insecurities.
Of course.
And just because you're in the limelight and just because you're rich and just because you're an entertainer and even people that are living for an audience of one, people whose main goal is to just please God, your insecurities are going to crop back up.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, and so I guess I kind of see... I think what she did was right. I think addressing it publicly was the right thing to do. Because, like you said, you brought up an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
She probably became more vulnerable to her fan base.
And she did it. I think she did it correctly in a sense that she didn't demean the one person or attack each commenter.
Right.
It was just like, hey, the internet as a whole is the worst of humanity.
Right.
Like, what makes people think they can speak this way about another human being just because they are in the limelight? So I see both sides because I definitely agree. But on the flip side, I do know, and we know, as pseudo celebrity people, as people that are at least in the spotlight, that make ourselves vulnerable, that are on a radio station day in and day out, it kind of comes with the territory of our job.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's you know,
well, to me, it's kind of like a marriage. I mean, it comes with it. And when you're when you're in a relationship, there's going to be things that are said that are hateful and things that are, and it just comes with it. And and I hate to say it like this and having thick skin or, but you almost have to just leave it.
Yeah. It's important.
You can't engage.
No, absolutely.
I liked Calvin and Hobbes, what he said, you know, the analogy that his dad showed him.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to take that back to my kids for sure.
Yeah, me
great
too.
Analogy.
Because when you think about it, walk away.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
Walk away.
You can sing while you're walking away.
I mean, first things first, she's the realest. I don't understand.
And I don't know her. I have to be honest. I've never...
Oh, you don't know her? You guys aren't bros?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Well, I don't even know what she sings.
Oh, here you go. We'll sing it.
Check this song.
You haven't heard this?
Oh, but I didn't know it was her.
That's her.
I'm so fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really fancy.
She's
she
so fancy.
She's fancy.
Oh, you think you fancy, huh?
Come on.
See, I don't even
505.
I probably haven't even heard the entire song.
3700. Static.
First things first, I'm the realist that's Nomi on the phone. Comments coming in.
Yeah, Nomi! Nomi, where are you?
I am here in New Mexico.
Okay, so you're not snowed in somewhere.
Oh, well, kind of. I was.
You were Snomi?
Weekend.
You worked where?
I did the New York Fashion Weekend.
Nice.
I want to pause. Fashion. Hey, pause. I want to acknowledge Steve-O's Snomi joke.
Yes, I did say a Snomi joke.
That was a good joke.
You were Snomi.
I just wanted to get props.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so clever and punny.
East Coast. What? For our audience at large who doesn't know our girl Nomi, she is an eyebrow threader extraordinaire and she's a fashionista.
She is.
And she's fixed us a couple times.
She does our eyebrows.
She does our eyebrows. She's our eyebrow threader.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, man. We just got
potatoes
shake it
off. Potato.
So what's up?
Hey, no, I wanted to chime in about, you know, this whole Iggy Azalea and girls trying to find their identity. And first things first, I'm not a fashionista. It's my requirement, my job to look presentable.
Whatever.
I seriously don't know. Like, what
your job
fashion
is beauty. So, come on.
Okay.
I mean, you're in that industry.
I am in that industry.
Yeah.
Unwillingly, not even, like, within my major, but yes, it is my industry. Go ahead.
No, that's how you do. That's all I was going to say.
Okay. I wanted to give in and chime in about Iggy Azalea getting all the hate. When she first came out as an artist, I really wasn't that keen on her. I just didn't like her very much, but she grew on me and I started liking her music. But all this hoopla that she's getting about the criticism about her legs and cellulite. By the way, cellulite is something that you get on your legs for women, and it's pretty much the veins popping out, and it's just unappealing. It's a blue, purple color. It's just very unattractive. But
so it's
kind of
like hair.
So it's just
more. Yeah, it's kind of like hair.
Is it like
more
scales?
So you can thread it off. Then is that what you're saying?
No, I can't thread it off.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness!
We know what cellulite is. Come on,
you gotta tell us why you called.
Okay, well, I'm getting to that point. Cellulite, because you guys didn't know. Goodness. So I think she's doing a good job of trying to take a break from the Twitterverse. You know, it's super hard criticism like that because there's not a lot of people who have thick skin. I have thick skin where I don't give a flip what people say or think about me.
Yeah.
But my sister, she was really heavily into the social media, and whatever people post about her, she took it to heart. Like, she deleted it. She couldn't handle it. And that's when she was struggling with her walk with the Lord. Like, she didn't know who her identity was. She was seeking the attention of other people, like what their approval was of her. And I tried to speak truth into her life, but she kind of, like, fell away from that. But goodness, the Lord is great and worked hard in her life, and she came back, and she doesn't have to face those fears anymore of people thinking of what she was or how she has to prove herself to those people. Like, she's redeemed by Christ, and that's all her identity, and that's all that matters to her.
Yeah, amen.
With that, what my sister did and how Iggy, if I can talk to her, what she should do is find a good community that can pour into her life. Especially sister friends who can't tell her, like, these lies that are implanted into her mind, like, you're not good, you're not attractive, your body is disgusting, but the women in your life that you surround yourself with can pour into you, like, you know, you don't need to listen to that, you don't need negativity in your life, the Lord has made you in his image, and you are perfect in his eyes. So it's all coming down to the Lord. Like, you need to find that good, healthy community with women who do love you, who do know you for who you are, and can pour truth into you.
Dude. Perfect. Nicely done.
Yeah,
Naomi. You just gave me something to talk about for Theology Thursday, man. Thank you.
Oh, cool.
I'm inspired.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He's inspired.
Thanks,
she should totally sponsor Iggy Azalea to come to Project Zoe.
Dude, I so should.
Dude.
There you go.
I'll send you a referral for it.
Thank you. By the way, guys, I should be coming the 23rd to thread your eyebrows.
Okay. What? The 23rd? Okay. A February?
March.
This is real life.
Okay, this is real life. Okay. Thank you, Nomi. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Have a good time.
Looking forward to it, Nomi.
All right. Thanks, girl. All right.
Bye.
Nomi, everyone. I'm going to pencil it in because I'm tired of penciling in my eyebrows, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're expensive.
What? this gives us something to talk about that I definitely want to bring up with Brian Nixon in the 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday, because as we talk about image, as we talk about being redeemed, as we talk about our identity in Christ, you know, how much do we focus on that? Because there are two different camps, I believe, within Christianity, and it is that you are holy, you are righteous, you are set apart, and there's the other camp that is you are a filthy, filthy sinner saved by grace. There's nothing freaking good about you. And so, as we're talking about image and believing what is said about us, if we're hearing what is said about us is that there is nothing good within us, that we are filthy and broken and awful sinners, I just want to talk to Brian Nixon about this. So I definitely want to bring that up for Theology Thursday, because biblical.
Yeah, but I think we're, you know, when you look at the two camps, I think the other camp of, you know, that we're redeemed and saved and, you know, white as snow, because, and that's only because of what Christ has done for us.
Right, right.
So the two camps are literally not two opposing camps.
Right.
It's the same camp with the...
They're in the same camp, divided, different tents.
Exactly.
This is what I think. I think a lot of people mean well.
Raymond.
I'm Raymond. I think a lot of people mean well when they say... Like, because you know the thing, and we've all heard the example, if your kid was running out in the street...
Right.
And you would do everything you could to stop that child from getting hit by a car.
Right.
We've all heard that.
Yeah.
The problem is, on social media... We don't tactfully say things.
No. Yeah.
A lot of times,
so
the church will rattle off what you need to do, why you need to do it, and that comes across as, and here's why, because you're a piece of crap,
right? Mm-hmm.
And
there's
nothing in your life is right.
You can't convey compassion over social media.
No.
You can't do that.
Right.
You can't
right.
sit there and spit out the truth.
Right.
You
right.
need Christ in your life. He will complete you. In a mean way.
Right.
You're defeat.
Or
you're
a meme.
You are
way,
a clanging gong.
Right.
Like, you
right,
are
right.
a resounding gong. Mm-hmm. You're a clanging cymbal.
There's Because no
you
love.
Don't have love. That's what's happening. That's what happens all the time.
I agree.
How do we know this? Go read the comment section of any article about anything faith-related.
Right.
It makes me want to walk away from the church altogether.
right.
And I'm a Christian.
right.
I can't imagine what people who aren't Christians think.
Right.
right.
All I'm saying is, if the church had a little more tact, it would go a long way.
yeah.
Tact,
yeah.
people. T-A-C-T. Tact. Look it up.
That's how you spell tact?
Yes.
Oh.
See, wow.
Here's how you know.
T-A-C-K-E-D, tact.
A-C-T spells...
act.
And you should act tactfully.
Oh.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Snap, you just put the
Doug?
T in it. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. T-T.
Peace out. T-T. It's another word for urine. All right, let's continue.
Michelle Schrott from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe. How can people get involved with Project Zoe?
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram.
Okay.
Totally, completely go on and find out if you want it. Would you like to be a volunteer? If you have a young lady in your life that you'd like to sponsor, bring them through. You don't have to, you know, be a teacher or be a social worker. It could just be, it could be your daughter. You could say, you know what, my daughter's really struggling. You know, she's fallen off the deep end, and we really want to bring her back. And she wants to, but she's struggling. You know, we have mentors that would love to come alongside of her. And you know, just point her in the right direction. And that's how, you know, we're just one beggar telling another, you know, hungry person where to find food.
And I mean, I love that, though, because you just said something that I hadn't even thought about ever, was the idea of a parent wanting to bring their child through it. Because
absolutely.
How many times
single
did
moms,
we as children not listen to our parents because they were our parents?
Uh-huh.
Yet a perfect stranger could come up and say, like, hey, man, this. And you're like, no, that makes all the sense in the world.
That's right.
And then your parents are like, dude, I said that for, like, years.
Uh-huh.
But it just, like, clicks.
It does.
Because it's, you know,
it
so maybe
well,
sometimes
it's different.
It just takes that. Yeah.
You know, and it's different. And hopefully the delivery can be different, too. Because I think as parents, we can, I know me. I can speak for myself because I am one. I can nag my kids. I can. So guess what happens after I've nagged them the same thing four times?
You're a clanging cymbal.
Well, they're not listening. They're like,
nope.
Here she goes.
Yeah,
you know,
you're like, come on.
Yeah. And it's useless. So
the funny thing is, Jesus went through that in his own town.
Right. Exactly.
Like, people didn't regard him. They didn't care.
That's right.
This is Jesus. So get over yourself if people aren't, you know.
That's so true.
Just find a new avenue to try and help someone. I like that.
But you know, but what I love is, you know, when Jesus went to someone, he went to them individually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yes, there's Sermon on the Mount. Those times when he went and spoke with someone one-on-one, he was speaking at that person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we, you know, we look at that example, and that's what we want to do at Project Zoe. Exactly. Yeah. You know, we just got involved with the child domestic sex trafficking here in New Mexico. Wow. They've asked us to be on the task force to help write new policies and procedures for CYFD. And, you know, it's really interesting to see when, you know, you get so many people together, and there's all these, okay, we need to have this committee and that committee and do this and do that. And, you know, me and my assistant were talking, and we just said, you know what? We're going to pray, and, you know, we're on, you know, two of the five committees.
Yeah.
But for us, it was like, we see what is missing in this entire puzzle is love.
Yeah.
You know, and actually the person that's overseeing this task force said, you know, what I see with Project Zoe is that you guys give these kids unconditional love.
Yeah.
You let them come back. You don't turn them away. If they've come and stolen from you, and we've had girls come and steal from us. And our thinking is, okay, you know, it's not right. ours to begin with. God has totally provided it. And if that's what, you know, wakes them up and they realize, oh my goodness, I stole from somebody who absolutely loves me and adores yeah. me and isn't going to press charges against me, or, you know, and it's amazing that it may take that.
Yeah.
But God can use it.
Amen.
God can totally use it. So, yeah.
Michelle Schroff from Project Zoe. You can find out all the details at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got comments on the Gazelia thing.
We do. And again, they just had 12 referrals. So we've got people in need, and they need professional, good looking stuff.
Yes.
Don't drop off some clothes you found in the back of your closet that have dust and, like, you know, mites in them. Right? Don't drop those off.
But it's my Van Halen t-shirt, circa 1984.
Keep in mind, 13 to 25 years old. Yeah.
Yes, 13 to 25 years old.
Right. So if you got NSYNC t-shirts.
No, do not drop those off either.
Yeah, just say bye-bye to those.
Man. Yeah, because we don't even do t-shirts.
You don't do t-shirts?
Nope. Okay. We don't do t-shirts.
They want professional-looking clothes.
Well, and actually.
So what you're saying is, you're so fancy.
We.
Oh, no.
Full circle!
Full circle, Doug. Doug,
did you
hear what just happened, Doug?
Boom!
That was unbelievable.
Cat fancy! Hot top cat fancy!
Nope. You ruined it.
So anyways.
Wow.
Yeah, you're so fancy. Good job, you.
Yeah. Not today.
Michelle Schroff, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Love it.
We got to take a quick break. Coming back, dude, we're going to talk to Brian Nixon about this very thing.
We are.
Righteous versus sinner.
Yeah.
We've got some great questions already for Theology Thursday as well. We're also going to talk Christology today, the study of Christ, what that means. We're going to dig in.
We're also going to talk mixology. We're going to talk all about mixes.
Mixtapes?
I made that up. mixology is, really. I think that's kind of like an alcoholic drink
thing. Oh,
when I said it, I was like, we can't talk about that.
I was thinking mixtapes because I feel like there's a science behind it, and I'm kind of a master.
I want to know the science behind science. Scientology when we come back.
Scientology.
That's what we're going to talk about. Scientology. That's a great name for it.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio for all the details on Project Zoe. Quick break. Right back. Theology Thursday on Team Awesome Morning Party.
You going to need your tea.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. We've got a great show for you.
Great show. And we're starting it off with a great band, Woven Hand. The fact that it was Ash Wednesday yesterday, we thought we should start off with something, you know.
Yeah.
Reminding us of our
ashenness. I do need to put some lotion on.
The ashenness?
That was Steve-O.
Yeah.
Though this is a rockin' song. It's kind of a throwback to, you know, the post-punk days of like, you know, early 1980s, which is good.
That's cool.
In my book.
I'm down with that.
Though they're a current band. They're not really from the 1980s.
It's okay. That seems like these trends are happening right now where 80s bands, it's kind of like that sound is good. We're ready for the 90s bands to hit now.
That's exactly
waiting for the reincarnation of Nirvana. So,
two of the Nirvana guys are obviously still around, right?
Right.
You know, they could always do a tour where they get another singer. You know, like Journey did that. And they'll get Someone, I'm sure.
They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014, and Chris Novoselic and Dave Grohl played with other people fronting Nirvana, and in my opinion, it
did not work. It didn't happen.
They had all female singers. The only one that worked, in my opinion, was Joan Jett, because she embodies rock and roll. But St. Vincent and
what Lord. About I Am Lord?
No.
I Am Lord.
Ugh.
Lord. I Am Lord. Do.
Nope.
That's, yeah.
That no, wasn't boy, your no. favorite one?
It was so not my favorite.
Oh, you told me it was your favorite one.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, Matt, Lord was my favorite one. Oh, my gosh.
No, it's because I was talking about the Lord, and he is my favorite, because I shall
it was
no
a
other
Sunday
gods
morning conversation.
Before
I get
me.
It. I get it. I get it.
The Lord. I was talking about the Lord.
The Lord, yes. Like the actual, there
like
is
the
like
King of
the
Kings,
one,
the Lord of Lord.
Yeah. Okay. See, I thought you just meant the pop artist.
Oh, you were
no
just
E at the
wrong.
End. The E is silent.
The E is silent, man.
And the E should be kept silent because she's a woman. Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Yes. Yeah.
And studio at mysteticradio.com.
Yeah, the private conversation between Steve-O and Mateo. Glad you could join us to hear this.
Welcome.
This private conversation.
I can
conversation.
Share more of our private conversation.
No, we're good.
But you know, we're playing this for a reason to
right.
say to all our liturgical friends,
boom,
be it Lutheran, Presbyterian, Anglican, Episcopal, who celebrated Ash Wednesday yesterday.
Yes.
Of course, Ash
yeah.
Wednesday is the day that kicks off the season of Lent.
Can I ask a snarky question?
Yes.
Do you really celebrate Ash Wednesday? Because everybody I see walking around with like the ash cross
yeah.
on their forehead are very somber. I don't.
It is because
it's not like woo Ash right. Wednesday party.
No, that's Mardi Gras or yeah. Strove Tuesday, the day
yes.
before.
Yes.
Fat Tuesday.
Well, no, in England it's called Strove Tuesday.
In New Orleans
which is,
it's Fat
which
Tuesday.
Is English, which is English for fat.
Oh.
No, it's
yeah.
it's a derivative, I think, of.
Yeah.
Of something like means repent or something.
Yes.
And you eat pancakes in England on Strove Tuesday.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds rocking.
But it is more of a somber time, a time of repentance, a time of recognizing your sin and saying, Lord, as we're coming up to Easter, I want to dedicate this time to you in a more deeper, you know, legitimate way. So for everyone out there who did their Ash Wednesday duties, God bless you. And hey, there we go.
Okay.
Little Gregorian chant.
How did we have this and we didn't have the other Woven Hand song?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Beenix. No, I apologize.
No, that's okay. We were going to start off with Woven Hand's Hiss, which was just about how, you know, wicked and disgusting people are, which
right.
is much more Ash Wednesday-ish.
Well, it's interesting because Theology Thursday, it's one of the topics we will be touching on today. We were talking about Iggy Azalea this morning and body image versus self-esteem, this international hip-hop artist who recently quit social media because of nasty things that were said about her. And we're talking a little bit about image and the like, and we started to delve into righteous versus filthy sinner and which one is correct. So I know we wanted to touch on that at some point today. We've got questions via email, studio@mystaticradio.com, and the phone lines are already jammed up. So
they
if you
can.
Call in and it's busy, we apologize, but we just as soon as we take one.
What is the phone number that people call?
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello.
Hi.
Hola.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Chilling.
Sweet. Hey, cool question. So you guys were talking about Ash Wednesday, and I grew up Catholic. For like 90% of everybody else in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And like of those 90%, I wasn't really a practicing Catholic. I was,
right.
quotation, you know, Catholic in quotes.
You were born into it.
Exactly. And
yes.
once, obviously, then I became a teenager and went to church on my own, a Christian church. Anyway, so I just wanted to ask this question and pose maybe just a little bit of a thought. Okay, so growing up during Lent season, there was always some confusion on my part because, you know, you gave up whatever it may be. For example, people in my family used to give up, oh, I'm gonna give up drinking, you know, for this time, or I'm gonna give up smoking, or blah blah blah, you know, going on and on. But it was like the day after Easter, or even Easter Sunday, they were doing it again.
Hitting the bong. Right.
Right, right. And I thought about that, and then after I became a believer, and I read where, you know, the Bible talks about that your obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, what is the point of giving something up for X amount of days if you're just planning in the back of your mind to go do it again? Does God, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think God's going to honor that because you're already waiting to go back and do it again, and it needs to be more of a heart change than anything else. And I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong. So I just wanted to pose that question statement.
Yeah.
Good.
But I gotta hang up, though, so you guys go on with it. It was nice talking to you. I'm going to be listening from my office.
Blessings. Great question. Let's just say we would agree with you. You know, one of the things is tradition in many cases has overtaken the teachings of Scripture. So the traditions of a denomination or a particular group have, you know, superseded that of the teachings of Scripture. And what you're going back to is the teachings of Scripture, and the teachings of Scripture are simple, that, you know, the Lord wants obedience. He just doesn't want something that you do one day out of the week or 2 days out of the week or, you know, 40 days out of the week. Now, that being said, there are some cool elements about Lent. And again, Lent isn't just a Roman Catholic celebration. It, you know, as we pointed out, it's a lot of the Protestant liturgical churches, be it Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Anglican, and the like. And it is a time where many people will reflect and say, Lord, I want to concentrate more on your life and your death and resurrection. Now, granted, we should be doing that all year long. We don't need 40 days to do that. So the sentiment is that true believers, or believers who really take the Lord seriously, need to have that mindset 365 days a year. But for the most part, you can say, you know, as we're coming up to Easter, as we're coming up to this time, I want to pay particular attention to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if someone has that heart that they want to have greater obedience, they want to do more time of prayer, and even giving something up, you know, that's whatever. If someone wants to do that, that's between them and the Lord. But for me, I think, you know, Christians should say, hey, if I'm going to celebrate Lent, I want to use this as a time to draw closer, to develop a deeper relationship, to study more. And hopefully this will go on past Easter.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Everything he mentioned as far as things you give up for Lent, you know, because I have friends who still take part in it. It's not... it's like, oh, I'm giving up video games, or I'm going to give up chocolate, or something normal. Not like, bro, I'm going to lay off the bong, or I'm going to stop illegally drinking underage for 40 days. Can't wait to hit the 40 after that. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like everything was saying, I remember those days, the high school kids that were around me who were like, yeah, bro, tough time. Can't do keg stands for 40 days. And it's like, you probably shouldn't do keg stands ever. Right. So maybe it's the heart behind what you're giving up.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Maybe if it's like, I'm not going to read comic books for 40 days and focus that time on reading scripture instead. Oh, nice. That's cool, bro.
Yeah.
You don't have to quit that forever. You should quit doing keg stands forever.
That's right. And that's where you really just have to come in and say, you know, it's really about the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. And do I have a solid, obedient relationship where I don't necessarily need 40 days, but the 40 days is a kind of a cool traditional. It's kind of like a Christmas treat to me. Do you need a Christmas tree to celebrate Christmas? Not necessarily. Yeah. Is it cool? Is it fun? Sure, it's a family tradition that many people do. But is it necessary for our salvation or for our Christian life? Absolutely not.
Right.
That's the way I look at Lent.
Yeah.
Lent, is it fun? Is it cool? Can it be a time where, you know, you go together as a family on Ash Wednesday, and then it ends with Easter? Sure, it's a cool thing, but really the bottom line is, do you have a personal relationship with Christ?
Absolutely. Well, I remember my kids last year asked me about it because they have a lot of Catholic friends where they go to school, and were asking, hey, why don't we take part in this? You know, and we had a really cool discussion about it because they were intrigued by it. They didn't necessarily understand why, but they were curious, you know, well, we love Jesus. Why don't we do this? And
right.
So it was, you know, an opportunity to talk to them about, well, is there anything that you feel that maybe you're giving more attention to than your relationship with Jesus? And we could, it's, hey, you can do this if you want.
Totally. I mean, hey. What, maybe one, you know, Ash Wednesday, you take them to an Anglican or Lutheran church and say, let's sit through it so you understand that
absolutely.
This is the body of Christ. But what we're saying, you know, let's say is evangelical,
right.
Non-denominational type believers. Is that, you know, it transcends just a season. It should be, our life should be dedicated to these things. But again, not debasing or demeaning
absolutely
Lent and the celebration of it, but it should transcend just 40 days.
Absolutely. There you go. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Phone lines are jammed. So we're going to try and get to as many phone calls as we can so we can free
love
up
it.
More phone lines. So let's go out to line one. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to ask a quick question real quick. I was watching with Da Vinci Code last night. They were talking a lot about, you know, like Mary Magdalene, Jesus, and all that stuff. Is that real, dude? Is that
the Hunger Games is real?
Okay, wait, I gotta ask a question. Are you really asking if a Tom Hanks movie is real? Do we really have to answer this?
Come on, man.
Are you freaking kidding me? I'm just
Castaway, bro.
All right, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Listen.
So was Forrest Gump.
I got in trouble. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I got in trouble in college.
What?
Yes.
Why?
Because I compared the Da Vinci Code to the Left Behind series.
Yeah.
I said they were both published works of fiction, and you would have thought that I had that I had burned a church down.
Right.
Straight up. I got in a lot of trouble. I was like, well, it's the same thing as reading like the Left Behind series.
Oh,
it's all just
man.
Fiction. Oh. And seriously, I went to the BSU later, and people were confronting me and witnessing
right.
to me.
Right.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. I heard you said this, and I was like, Carmel, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
No, it's not real. In fact, Dan Brown took a lot of stuff from a book that came out in the 80s called, it was like Holy Blood, Holy Grail
right.
or
You're
something
right.
by
yep.
two other authors.
That's right.
Yeah. He stole a lot of his ideas from a different fictional book.
Right.
And it's all conspiracy theorist stuff.
Cool.
It all, like the whole Jesus bloodline thing is this long-running conspiracy
However, the life
theory.
Of Brian, totally real.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit of background where, historically, where some of these people get some of this information or supposed information. There's a group of historic ancient texts called the Gnostic Gospels. And the Gnostics were essentially an early Christian cult. They were individuals that, you know, had their own perspective and their own ideologies concerning Jesus. And they wrote a whole series of separate gospels as opposed to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all of these gospels were later documents, meaning they were second, third, fourth century gospels, that they were writing them according to their particular worldview, their stance, their ideology. So what had happened is a lot of these gospels kind of disappeared with history. They were destroyed. They were lost. Well, in the 1940s, many of these gospels were unearthed, uncovered in an archaeological excavation in Nag Hammadi. And what had happened is scholars started to read these gospels and they began to become prominent and popular once again. So what had happened is once they hit the public view, a lot of people started to say, dude, are these real? Are these really about Jesus? And the answer is no.
Right.
They were written literally, in some cases, hundreds of years after Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah.
And they were the product of cultic Christians in the early church. So what has happened is popular people like Dan Brown and others have went back and said, well, the church tried to suppress a lot of this stuff, but these are just as legitimate as the other four gospels. Though the church at times did try to combat and speak against the gospels, they are by no means are on the same level historically or theologically as the four gospels we
have.
It'd
be like me trying to write a book about George Washington today just based upon my thoughts.
Exactly right.
A couple hundred years later, right. You know what? I'm going to write about
my thoughts on George Washington.
George Washington, you know.
Yeah.
He had wooden teeth.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. That's exactly right.
I'm just going to go ahead and start writing
some stories. That's exactly right. Good comparison. I mean, it would be like today, 300 years later, you're saying, I'm going to write the definitive work on George Washington.
Right. And based upon what I've heard about him being on the quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
For real. So hopefully that helps you, man.
Oh, dude, yeah, totally. Okay.
Work of fiction.
Yes,
it was a bestseller.
Yeah. Bestseller, you know, huge.
I read fictional it. Book.
Yeah. I remember when it came out because people were terrified, going, "This is going to kill the Bible. Oh no, what are we going to do?" And people were afraid of it. And I said, "I need to read this so I have some knowledge about what I'm up against here because they're talking about my Savior here."
Yeah.
And so I read the book, and the funny thing is, it wasn't even that great a book. I never saw the movie. It was pretty decent. I enjoyed it. It was kind of like Born Identity style for the first two-thirds. And then it just tanked. It was just crappy writing.
It's a conspiracy. It's popular fiction.
Yeah.
He really obviously had something against the Roman Catholic Church specifically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, there are those undercurrents that Dan Brown was, you know, bringing to the table with his ideology.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's fiction. It's been shown to be, historically inaccurate on, you know, several accounts.
Right. And the thing is, people love conspiracy theories. I read an article from, and I'm trying to pull it up right now, but the internet sucks. It's from Scientific American, but there's a total science behind why people love conspiracy theories. And it was one of the most interesting articles I've ever read. Like, the New York Times reposted it and all this stuff. But it's totally a psychological thing that most people deal with. It's why they're so attractive. We love talking about aliens. We love what if Jesus had a bloodline? What if we found the Holy Grail? What if the Holy Grail was actually Mary and Jesus had a bloodline? And that bloodline started with the Anunnaki, who were aliens from Planet X that only swings around
this
every 5,000 years.
That's a real conspiracy.
And it was like it was a reptilian thing because actually people worshipped a snake first and Lilith came out and then Adam got with her and then she became evil and then Eve came along. And there's so much.
You sounds can just like stack, you believe stack. Some of this. You're
Dude,
pretty
I believe
passionate
all of
it.
He listens to a lot of podcasts.
It's not some of it. It's every bit of it. I just like to make my own hot pot.
Which is exactly why we have Theology Thursday. Maybe you have a question. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Or you can send in an email. studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's go to line two. Hello. Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, good. All right, so this probably could have fit pretty well on shock therapy as well, but I didn't get a chance to call in for shock therapy, so I'm calling into you guys.
Okay.
All right. Biblical method of dealing with inter-church conflict. I'll give you a little bit of background without completely giving away what happened. Basically, there are two individuals... one being a guest of a church, one being a member of church leadership, but not the pastor. The person who was the guest was speaking and brought up the subject of homosexuality as a very general thing. And this individual who is in leadership happens to have members of their family that are struggling with that, you know, bearing that cross. And apparently took it rather personally because this person stood up in the middle of a service and began, putting in their two cents and apparently did this, more than once. My question, number one, is when it's a conflict with just between, say, myself and one other member, how do we handle that according to the Bible?
Great.
And then when it's a leader of the church, does that differ in any way in how it should be handled?
Right on, man. Thanks for the call.
Great question.
Matthew 18. Next.
That's exactly right. Matthew 18.
I'm just kidding.
But let's look at this a little bit just to give some clear biblical directive.
Absolutely.
Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15, is Jesus's way of dealing with conflict or a sinning individual or
even just someone you may disagree with. These are the principles. And I'm going to read it for the sake of our audience. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and tax collector. So here's the steps. The steps are that Jesus outlines here is you go to the individual. So let's say in this case, let's say it offended you on a personal level or offended someone in the church congregation, what this person did, you would pull this person aside and say, hey, listen, what you're doing is not only unbiblical and or just kind of odd. There's other ways we could be handling this. And if the individual accepts it and goes, you know what, you're right, I was out of thing, please accept my apology, you could go, cool, let's get back into fellowship and do that. But let's say the individual goes, no, you know, I'm going to continue doing this. Then you have to go, okay, I have to get other leadership from this church. I have to get a group of people, two or more, that you'll come together and say, hey, listen, friend, what you're doing is either A, not biblical, or it's just not right sociologically. It's just creating division here. If the guy goes and says, you know, you're right, I've really thought about this, I've prayed about this, I'm going to concede, and I'm just going to get back in with things, I apologize. Again, you've got a brother. Yeah. But the third step is, let's say the guy goes, absolutely not. You know, I'm going to continue to do this, I'm going to, you know, toot my own horn, I'm going to, you know, stress my own case, I'm going to make my political and or theological statements, whatever. That's when you have to go to the church. And a lot of people have different ideas of what that means. Some people would say like the church board, the church government, the church leadership. In some severe cases, people say, no, we're actually going to bring it to the entire church.
Right.
And I've heard of people do that. For me, what I would rather do is I would say you'd go to the overall church board. You would go first of all to a group that has the decision to say, okay, what are we going to do about this? And then if the church board or the larger leadership of the church were to say, you know what, if he's not willing to quiet down, it leads to the fourth step, and that's you ask them to leave. Yeah. And that's what we would call excommunication, and you basically say, listen, we've went through the biblical steps. We went to you as an individual. We brought a couple of guys to encourage you. We brought it now to the church, and the church has elected to say, you know what, you have to leave. So that is the biblical course of handling conflict. Did that help you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And Matthew 18, you said, right?
Matthew 18, verses 15 through 18 is really what you want to concentrate on. But again, those are the four steps. It's just go to them individually. Then if he doesn't accept, you go with a small group. If he doesn't accept there, then you've got to bring it to the overall leadership, be it a church board, be it an elder board. Let them know what's going on, and then they have to make the decision to confront the guy. And if the guy still is unrepentant and he's not turning back from what he did, then you're going to have to say, we need you to leave.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling,
man. Okay. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I have a related question.
Yeah.
Because I wondered this. When he says, truly I say, or when he says, if he refuses to listen, then tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Was Jesus saying to treat him as a Gentile and a tax collector as the Jews did, or as he treated the Gentiles and tax collectors?
I think the general context of the scripture is the understanding of how the Jews and of the day, the people of the day, treated them, which is essentially saying, listen, if this guy's not going to concede to the body of Christ, if he's going to continue with his unrepentant sin or his unrepentant attitude or whatever, you really just have to say, listen, bro, you're acting like a non-believer. And that's the heart of what Jesus is saying. When he says a heathen and tax collector, you're acting like someone who's not even part of the church.
Right.
You know, you have your own agenda. You have obviously some sin issues. And if you can't deal with these, then I have to treat you like, you know, you're wanting to be treated essentially as an unbeliever.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because it's sandwiched between the 99 plus one where he goes after the one that's gone astray. And then the next is when Peter asks about forgiveness.
And then Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7 over and over.
Yeah, yeah. And let me just, because it's Theology Thursday, when we're talking about church discipline, there's basically two types of general overarching church discipline. There's what we call formative church discipline. And formative church discipline is basically preventative discipline. Mm-hmm. So, I noticed something like, boy, this guy, man, he's getting hammered every night. And the Bible says, be not drunk. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go up to him in almost like in a brotherly way and go, hey, man, I've noticed this in your life. Can I pray for you? Is there anything I could do to help mentor you, to walk you through this? You're not enacting, this strong arm. You're really coming alongside and showing the love of God and wanting to be a good Christian friend. Mm-hmm. That's formative. Then there's corrective church discipline. And corrective church discipline is a little more severe, and it's used when trouble arises, much like this gentleman said. Someone standing up in the middle of church and causing division in the church. And that's when you're going to have to basically challenge the person. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some rebuking involved. And at times, if the person's, unrepentant, you're going to have to basically remove them from that situation, because you can't have one person disrupting worship service over their own personal theological stance or their agenda. So formative is really what you want to do. Formative is where you see something, you come alongside, you help, you move, you pray, you walk through the situation together as a body. Mm-hmm. But the corrective at times is what needs to happen as well.
What sucks is that, and then, the next step, You excommunicate, you whatever, and then, the church down the road who has different theological viewpoints goes, but we love you and we'll accept you.
Right.
He mentioned something in here, and I definitely wanted to bring it up because it's more of a Theology Thursday question as you talk about people abusing the platform and saying things. This week, I don't know if you guys saw Rob Bell on Oprah Winfrey this week. Did anybody?
No.
Does anybody watch Oprah Winfrey?
No, I don't.
Does anybody care about Rob
Bell?
Don't
have Oprah Network.
Rob Bell, it was the Valentine's Day special, and Rob Bell was the guest on Oprah's show for this, and he made a statement talking about same-sex marriage this week, and this is what he was discussing with his wife, Kristen, who was on the show. He said, quote, marriage, gay and straight, is a gift of the world because the world needs more, not less, love, fidelity, commitment, devotion, and sacrifice. Obviously, this kind of surprised Oprah Winfrey because he was talking about same-sex marriage as a Christian. He was coming from the quote-unquote Christian standpoint on the show. And he said, one of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. Loneliness is not good for the world, whoever you are, gay or straight. It's totally normal, natural, and healthy to want someone to go through life with. It's central to our humanity, and we want someone to go on this journey with. She then asked, when is the church going to get this? And he said, we're close. And Kristen Bell, his wife, said, I think it's evolving. And he added, quote, lots of people are already there. We think it's inevitable, and we're moments away from the church finally accepting it. He said that if the church keeps resisting this, that the church would continue to be even more irrelevant. And here was his big statement that I think probably people were retweeting and posting about this week. This was his comment on the church at large and same-sex marriage. Rob Bell said, quote, I think culture is already there, and the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense, when you have in front of you flesh and blood people who are your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and coworkers and neighbors, and they love each other and just want to go through life. He said there are churches who are moving forward, and there are churches who are almost regressing and making it more of a battle. But speaking to same-sex marriage, this was on Oprah, of course, millions of people saw it.
It was all over Facebook.
This is like, and that's why I don't have a Facebook, because
you guys, you don't want your teeth.
Let me say that this issue, which by crazy is not the first time I've heard this. I didn't know Rob Bell was on Oprah.
Yeah.
But it is disheartening on many levels. And I could begin to unpeel this whole thing.
Layers.
There's so many layers to it. But let's just say that Rob Bell is not only biblically going against the teachings of Scripture.
Right.
Scripture is clear from Genesis to Revelation of its stance regarding homosexuality.
Yeah.
And
Here's the other thing about Rob Bell, you know, to use the flippant, you know, well, letters written 2,000 years ago. It's not just letters written 2,000 years ago. This goes back 4,000-6,000 years ago into ancient cultures, and he's got to contend with that. So some of his statements are flippant, but back to my main point.
Yeah.
Biblically, he's off. But then also historically, he's off. He is kicking against 2,000 years of church history, and then another 2,000-6,000 years of Judeo history that has taught specific things about, human relationships. So, you know, are there some churches sociologically moving in this direction? Unquestionably. He's right there. But is the church almost there as a whole? No, because what the church is saying is we want to be faithful to the witness of Scripture first and foremost, but to the witness of the historic Christian church as well. And let me throw this in as a side note, that we also have to contend with biology. Let's not just make this a biblical argument, because first and foremost, for the Christian, that is important. But it's also a biological. We have to look at the biology and not just the physiology of how people were made. Man was made for woman, woman was made for man. But also the mental, the psychological, the sociological factors that are all part of this mix. And so I think, for him to just jump on this popular bandwagon, I'm going to be hip, I'm going to be relevant, there's so much involved in this conversation that I think it really does an injustice for someone like Rob Bell to make statements like that.
Well, as we're getting ready to talk about Christology, the study of Christ, I know that this is the case, this is true, we were talking about the way Jesus handled individuals. Mm-hmm. Christ, first and foremost, loved, and it seemed like Rob Bell is trying to negate the word of God for the sake of feelings. Does that make sense? Because it was,
oh yeah, totally.
By saying, you know,
but you have an uncle standing before
you, right? 2,000-year-old letters, which if you're already taking God's word and just calling it that, you're trying to make the word of God irrelevant by saying these are just 2,000-year-old letters.
Let's put in different context, yeah. Steve, for our listeners. So let's take out the person of homosexuality.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm a compulsive liar, and okay, I stole from you $1,000 that you were going to use for your rent.
Oh, what a jerk.
And I'm your cousin.
Yeah.
And you call me up and you go, "Cousin Brian, come on into my house. We got to talk."
Yeah.
"Oh, what's going on, Steve-o?" "Well, I think you stole my wallet, and
right,
and because
I had $1,000 in my wallet.
I saw
I'm doing really well.
Give me some of that."
"Chrissy saw that you stole it, Brian, and I'm a compulsive liar." And I go, no, "I didn't steal it. I didn't take anything. What are you talking about, Steve-o?" And then you go, well, "Are you a Christian, Brian?" "Well, yeah." "Well, you know, what's the Bible say about stealing and lying?"
"Yeah."
"Well, that's just a 2,000-year-old letter book. Why do I have to believe that?
I'm your cousin."
And exactly. So in this case, is Rob Bell going to go, "Oh, well, you're my cousin, your family, your flesh and blood standing before me. Let's just forget that you lied and stole from me, because you're a human flesh person, your blood, you know, I got to relate to you. We got to be relevant." No, you're going to go back and say, "Listen, this is wrong.
Right.
This is wrong.
You stole $1,000 from me, bro."
Exactly.
"Where my money at?"
So it's easy for us to say, "Hey, let's be touchy-feely about a particular subject." But when it comes to another ethical issue, then we all of a sudden will get dogmatic about it. So what I'm saying is, someone like Rob Bell, and again, he's not here to defend himself. I wish he were. I would say, where's your ethical consistency?
Yeah.
For one, I don't see it in what you're saying. But even if you're trying to elevate homosexuality or marriage or whatever else to a different plane, who are you to be the one to choose? Because the next guy may come along and go, "You know what? It's okay if I kill someone. My ethical consistency, you happen to like something in this area regarding marriage, and you've changed the definition of what it means to be. I'm just changing the definition over here for when I kill someone."
Right.
It's, hey, bro. So We are not the arbitrators of truth. Mm. God is the arbitrator of truth. We cannot pick and choose what I deem is ethically right at this time or morally right, but that's exactly what he's doing.
So do we just kind of have to throw him out entirely? And I mean this, I seriously mean this theologically, because as we look at different pastors and different people who consider themselves Christians, when someone, you know, if a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon came to the door and said, "Hi, I want to talk to you about my faith," and right. we begin with who the person of Jesus is, and right. we have completely different, you know, the Book of Mormon versus the Bible. Those are totally different standards. He just kind of played all his cards and said, "Hey, these 2,000-year-old letters have nothing yeah. on human flesh.
It's
and
disturbing."
Blood. Then you're taking this person in front of you yeah. over the Word of God. Can you really?
Yeah, and then it's become who again? Coming back to truth claims. Rob Bell made a truth claim, and he is saying, "I'm the arbitrator of truth. I'm going to determine what marriage is and what marriage is not." And then you say, "Okay, you've done that, and society is moving in that direction. Well, what's next? All of a sudden, you're going to come to me, and or not you, but someone's going to come on the scene and go, 'I just happen to like little girls.'" You know, 9-year-olds. Yeah. Well, and then we go, "You can't do that." Well, if you're changing this for that, yeah. what's to say I can't change it for me?
Well, for me, like Abraham, didn't he have like multiple people? He had like, you know, or like Solomon. I'm thinking, I got to call Chrissy, because I'm thinking for me, it's more concubines.
I have a question.
That's exactly right. Because what we're starting to do is we are morphing it. No,
Phoenix, don't give him permission.
Biblically, New Testament bibliology, no. No.
Okay, fine.
No, I have a question. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I understand what's happening, and I think this is great because it totally coincides with Jesus Loves People. Because
absolutely.
there's a sermon dedicated to Jesus Loves Homosexuals.
Yes.
And this is where, because earlier we were talking about tact and how we handle this type of thing. So I understand that, and please, oh gosh, I'm so scared people are going to think that I'm going off in some crazy direction, but just hear me out.
Right.
So I understand the biblical stance on homosexuality, and I know it's from beginning, like it's from Old Testament to New Testament, and it does not change.
Right.
I get that. But I see where, like my gay friends would be offended when we talk about it like this, because the examples that we just used, we have someone's sexuality that's between them and another person,
mm-hmm.
And how that would offend me, mm-hmm. which there is no, there is no like material thing taken from me, but we've compared it with money getting stolen out of my wallet, mm-hmm. which is a material object taken from me. So I kind of understand where, does that make, like, they would
sure.
feel, they would be like, is that the same to group them in with a thief?
Well,
and I understand from God's perspective, it's sinful.
Yes.
It's sinful. But I totally get now, because in our culture, those are two different
right.
things. So Jesus Loves People is all about finding a way to say, hey, God views us as all the same, but we have to be Christ's love to you.
Right.
And so I could understand why that would be totally offensive, because it's like calling, and I know there were initial like hesitations with the way that we phrased Jesus Loves People and the different series that we took, because we didn't want to think we were all grouping everybody
right.
into this one group, because you had
right.
the homeless, and then you had homosexuals, and then you had terrorists,
right.
and then you had the broken
kids this
and
week.
And it was totally, it was like, how do we do this in a tactful
yeah.
way where we're showing people the truth in a loving way,
right.
but we're not saying you're the same as a guy that just
right.
took $1,000 out of my wallet.
Well, I think the difference is this, and it comes back to the way Rob Bell, as far as tact goes, the
yeah.
way Rob Bell did it was he completely started with negating God's word.
Yeah. He made a truth claim, like
he made a
like
truth
Phoenix
claim that these are just letters from 2,000 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
they're not. This isn't just some book that was written by dudes. This is the inerrant word of
right.
God. So it's like,
which he would deny,
easy.
By the way.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
It'd be easy for us to be like, nah, dude, I totally understand, because
mm-hmm.
I wish there were things that were okay, because then it'd be so much freaking easier.
Yeah.
But I don't get to pick either, because
right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I just want to know, like, how do we find that place
yeah.
where we're not condoning sin, but we are being God's love to somebody?
I think you hit it on the head. You know, you truly show love. You have to pray that God lead you accordingly. So you have to walk in the Spirit, and then you have to find tactful ways to do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to come across as an unloving moron.
Right.
You really want to show the love of Christ. Let me give you an example that a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, he's an art historian in Southern California, has written several books on various artists. And back in the Jesus days, early 70s, you know, he was doing his thing, and he wasn't a Christian, and he was living with his girlfriend. Well, it just so happened that he became a Christian, and he had this guy who was his mentor that really helped him come to faith in Christ. And my friend, whose name was Gordon, his name is Gordon, and he was like, you know, asking all these questions about this and that, and his friend just continued to love him, and then the idea of, hey, I'm living with my girlfriend. And this is what his friend responded back to him. Hey, just keep reading. Just keep reading the Bible. And be what his friend was and believing, I think, rightfully, is, you know, let the Holy Spirit.
Let him do it.
Let the Lord convict you. Let the Lord do it. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to beat you over the head to try to convince you. It's just like, hey, you're coming to our church. That's awesome. Let the Lord speak to you about your condition. And that's part of the sanctification process. And in Gordon's case, obviously, he kept reading the Bible. He kept attending church. And then pretty soon he goes, all right, maybe I shouldn't be living with my girlfriend here. And he separated from her and, you know, got it right and everything else. And I think later on she became a Christian and then they got married. Wow. So it was one of those situations where it really had positive effects, because the guy who was mentoring him, who was discipling him, who was encouraging him, was loving. He didn't say, dude, you've got to do this. He just said, hey, keep reading, keep praying.
And here's the thing. Because I absolutely know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We're talking about human
people.
Beings with emotions. And here's the only way I can equate it back, because I agree. God's word says this, like to the world, like to those that are perishing, God's word's foolishness anyways. I remember in my early 20s, because I had walked away for years. I walked away from you could call it backsliding, you could call it walking away. There are plenty of people, I'm sure, who could argue that I was just never saved up until this point of my life. I had a girlfriend that was living with me on and off. We were sleeping together.
But in separate rooms, of course.
No, dude, we were having
sex. You can't sleep together in separate
rooms. I realize this isn't Shock Therapy Live, that this is theology.
Hey,
we were having sex, Brian Nixon, outside of marriage.
We can't say that on
You're
this
blushing.
Program.
Sorry. So here's the deal. I was in a relationship, a heterosexual relationship that was still wrong.
Yeah.
I remember going back to church. I remember this passion for Jesus just being reinvigorated. And I remember realizing that I was going to have to go back to this girl who was a staunch atheist and tell her, we're going to have to try and work something out, because we can't live together. We can't sleep together anymore. And man, it was one of the worst conversations I've ever had, because she was livid. I became self-righteous because I was now better than her.
Right.
Because my way was better than her way, because she still wanted to be in this relationship and still wanted to have sex. But that's not right now. Oh, so somebody else is telling you what's right and what's wrong. And she never got it.
Yeah.
And if we saw each other on the street today, it'd probably be a bad scene.
Mm-hmm.
She was livid and hated it. But there was nothing I could do about it, because I knew that was sin and it was wrong. And I tried so hard in a loving way to be like, come along with me. Mm-hmm. Take this journey with me.
Yeah.
And there was no way in...
Yeah. And I understand that.
You know, like...
You'd never...
Because that's it.
But... And there's always going to be a degree to where the other person says, oh, you think you're better than me.
Oh,
because
yeah.
that's just a that's human it. Defense mechanism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time... The church, I feel like, because this is such a hot topic right now, we have to be so careful.
Yeah.
And I know we all hate having to plan out what we say, but when people just get offended in our culture so easily, you know, and it's not like you don't cater to those people, but at the same time, it doesn't hurt to just say, hey, how am I going to lovingly express this?
And the gospel is an offense. You know, the gospel is an offense. Here's where and we'll leave it at this, because we still have to get to our theology focus.
So much stuff.
If I'm going to believe the biblical record and 2,000 years of Christian history and thousands of years of Jewish history prior to that, or Rob Bell, I'm going to stand firm on the testimony of Scripture and the testimony of what, you know, the Judeo-Christian worldview has taught versus what Rob Bell thinks. I mean, that's just me. I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to know I love Rob Bell and I read his books, and so I'm going to believe Rob Bell. But I'm just going to put my investment in something that has stood the test of time, that has proclaimed truth in love for millennia.
You know what's interesting is you think about the way Jesus handled things, and I even think about when Jesus was handling the 40 days and when he was handling the temptations with Satan. Satan came at him with Scripture and said, it is written this.
Right.
Jesus never, ever refuted what God's word actually said. He just said, you know, it also says this.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, because when you begin by refuting God's word and you're trying to destroy it and negate it as not, this can't be a viable, you know, source for our livelihood. That's where you obviously have, you just have to go, we can't have this conversation. We don't even have the same standard.
Exactly. And this is the case I was with Rob Bell. My thought is just to pray for him. We're obviously on two different journeys right now. Mm-hmm. So pray that, you know, that he would get a consuming fire for Christ and Scripture, and just continue to lift him up to the Lord. But but let's move on.
Yeah, man, phone lines have been jammed this whole time. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, I just have two words.
Okay.
Itching ears.
Itching ears. There you go. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right.
Itching ears.
People hear what they want to hear.
Itching ears, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess biblically, you know, if we look at, that really wasn't a question.
No, it was a comment.
So
it was actually just two words.
Yeah, itching ears.
Yeah. Speaking of words, we did get a question on Facebook yesterday that was a fantastic question that we thought maybe would bend more towards Theology Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be fearfully made?
Fearfully made?
Yeah, Scripture talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made, right?
But wait, hold on. Let's deal with itching ears for the moment.
I thought she was just giving a comment. I didn't think she was.
Well, my thought is, you know, probably if we're talking about itching ears, various translations give 2 Timothy 4:3, and they use that terminology, itching ears.
Right.
And essentially, the NIV is one of those. And the NIV says this: "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." So what I'm thinking is maybe this last comment about itching ears had to do with what Rob Bell is doing, that he's basically surrounding himself with things that are not doctrinally or biblically correct, but he's just saying them. And if that's what she's saying, then I would agree with her.
Oh,
you know, the reality is that
he was on freaking Oprah.
Right.
I mean, it'd be so much easier. That's so much easier. Hey, I love everybody, and you can do no wrong. Let's just negate sin, and let's forget about all these other things. Let's just freaking love each other, man. I'm going to buy the world a Coke.
Right, right. And you could say
that's so much easier.
Yeah, you could say he's a teacher to say what he wants, and there's itching ears. There's people who want to hear what he has to say.
Rebuking someone is hard.
It is, but we have to go back to the truth claims of what Scripture teaches. We have to go back to what the church has biblically taught for thousands of years. So maybe in this case, Rob Bell would fall into that category, but I'm not ready to throw Rob Bell out just yet. My thought is, let's continue to pray for the guy.
You just want to love him and buy him a Coke.
Sort of.
Okay, there you go. Dude, we are running out of time.
The way to do it would be love him and buy him a Coke, but then, like, I disagree.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
pull
exactly
him out
right
of the street because the car's about to hit him.
So can we get to Christology really quick?
We're gonna
have to talk about our theology focus.
Yeah.
The first week we talked about theology proper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which happens to really take on the area of God's attributes, his characteristics. Last week we briefly talked about bibliology, the study of Scripture, and this week our theology focus is on Christology or Christology, depending on how you want to say it. And Christology is really the field in theology that you study the person of Jesus Christ. And that comes into various guises. That's his nature, his divine and human nature, which was dealt with in some of the early creeds. You also have to deal with his teachings, the moral components of what Jesus taught. And that, of course, is dealt with specifically in Scripture. But the theological school of thought, we would say, are the ethics or the morals of Jesus. And then in the past 150 years, Christology has really been concerning itself with the historical nature of who Christ was. So there's been like three schools of thought, three quests to understand Jesus's place in history, and every school of thought has come to different conclusions regarding who he is. So you really, when you're studying Christology, you're looking at the total person and work of Christ biblically, understanding that what his life means in relationship to the world, the universe, and all of that. But then you also have to understand Christ historically, and that's what some schools of thought are there. So that's what Christology is.
That was it?
Well, I mean, we could get into so much more about it. I mean, you know, you could talk about each one of those areas are broken down into an assortment, you know, his divinity versus his human nature.
Right.
The working of miracles. You could get into his offices, prophet, priest, and king. You can get into all these components of what Christology entails, and that would literally take us a semester to unpack all of that. But as far as the basics of what the study of Jesus Christ is, it really is dealing with the biblical nature of who he is, his nature is both being divine and human, what his teachings, what the ramifications of what he says, the moral ethical component, and then the historical nature. So all of those are schools of thought where people concentrate on. But here's the beauty. When you follow Christ, you get all of those.
Yeah.
You get both the divine and human nature, you know, the theological nature of who he is. We are also attuned to his kingdom ethic, what he taught and living by that. And we also find his place in history. And again, as prophet, as priest, as king. So these are just components of Christology that our listeners should be aware of.
What are some great resources for people that maybe want to dig into Christology? Because obviously it's so vitally important.
Very important.
To just grow and know the character of Christ. For me, it's still mind-blowing regularly, you know, thinking about who Jesus was and is, fully man, fully God, because it's easy to write off, oh, he lived a perfect life. Well, of course he did, because he's God. So of course he lived a perfect life,
right,
realizing that he was fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And so I know as we grow and learn more, it can really help us with our personal walk.
Great question. And there are obviously levels to the study,
Matthew,
this theology.
Mark, Luke.
Right. As funny as it is,
yeah,
you start with the four Gospels.
Right.
You read the three Synoptic Gospels, you read the Gospel of John, and that shows you. But when you're starting to study all the theological implications, what these mean, there are so many schools of thought. You know, a basic book about particularly the historicity of Christ, if you're interested in that field, something like Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ is a good starting point to just understand of his place in history, what he did. If you want to understand some more about, you know, the biblical notion and the biblical nature, which has theological overtones, I love Griffith Thomas's, and you can't go to our bookstore. It's a book that's out of print, but it's a book called Christianity is Christ.
Why would you even bring it up?
Well,
if you'd like some resources that you'd have to buy on eBay for hundreds because it's out of print.
No, you could go to these outlets.
I just wanted to talk about my awesome book collection.
No, but you know, and something like Griffith Thomas, and by the way, it is available. Publishers do put out some of this stuff. But this is a real good overview of the character of Christ, the claims of Christ, his teachings, his miracles, the death, the resurrection. So he does a good job in a short means to unpack a lot of the components about Christ. Now, if you're looking at what the creeds say about Christ and the early church councils.
Scott Stapp.
Yeah, no.
Human clay.
Tremonti.
Yes.
So I would recommend Know the Creeds and Councils by Justin Holcomb. Know the Creeds and Councils. And this is a very friendly book, and it tells you about what these early councils decided regarding the nature of Christ, using the Bible, obviously, as their springboard.
Yeah.
But there are some great resources for us to understand it in a variety of different ways. But Christology, it really is the cornerstone of our faith now that we are in this Easter season.
Whoa, it's like, that was like Inception, because it's like the cornerstone, but like he's the head cornerstone, so it's like crazy. I'm going to go buy the world a Coke.
Man, do you want a Coke or something?
He must want a Coke.
If you missed any part of Theology Thursday, you can download the podcast, mystaticradio.com. That's our website. You can find many resources there. The Morning Show podcast or Shock Therapy Live, Theology Thursday. We got tons. So get there. Check it out. Beanix, dude, thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Fun.
Today was fun. Let's just fire Jarrett, man.
Let's do it.
Okay,
no.
Good. All right.
I like
next
him.
Week, just the three of us. We fired Jarrett.
No, we didn't.
He's
actually,
not face.
He is not here next week because he's in... On the mission trip.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So,
there you go. Pray for that dude.
Yeah, pray for him.
Until next time, Theology Thursday, saying peace out.
Yeah, peace out. Don't drink Cokes because you're going to need your teeth.